This is the best show, and this is the link, bestshow.net. Drink up and ascend. You'll laugh your ass off. Trust me, I wouldn't steer you wrong. This is the best show, and this is the link, bestshow.net. Drink up and ascend. You'll laugh your ass off. Trust me, I wouldn't steer you wrong. This is the best show, and this is the link, bestshow.net. Drink up and ascend. You'll laugh your ass off. Trust me, I wouldn't steer you wrong. This is the best show, and this is the link, bestshow.net. Drink up and ascend. You'll laugh your ass off. Trust me, I wouldn't steer you wrong. This is the best show, and this is the link, bestshow.net. Drink up and ascend. You'll laugh your ass off. Trust me, I wouldn't steer you wrong. This is the best show, and this is the link, bestshow.net. Drink up and ascend. You'll laugh your ass off. Trust me, I wouldn't steer you wrong.
Going, everybody. Welcome. I welcome you to the best show. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm your host for tonight's installment of the best show. We've got an exciting one for you. Greg Turkington's going to call in a little bit, give us some of the showbiz lowdown. Always look forward to hearing from Greg. And the topic tonight, what are we talking about? I can't defend it. I think that's the topic. What's this weird? There it is. No. Yes, no. Hold on. How's this sound, Mike? There it is. That's what it was. Had the speaker up. Draw me up the wall. Kind of thing you'd think Dudio would catch, but, you know, I don't know. He's caught up in other things. Can't keep his eye on the prize. That's fine. I'll just keep doing the show over here. Oh, by the way, Mike, it's thebestshow.net. It's only been the sole website of the show for the last 2.5 years. That's fine. You'll warm up to it. Oh, that wasn't you. Okay. Well, excuse me. My apologies then. I don't know what that was. No, it was very unsettling. So, do I want to tell you all? Oh, I'd like to tell you some stuff, but my throat's a little parched. Mamacita, please, I need a cold beverage, please. Please, Mamacita, please. Just a cold drink. I'm trying to talk into the microphone, and I can't if I don't have a cold drink. Oh, thank you, Mamacita. This is Black Cherry. Thank you, Mamacita. Doesn't say good. Thanks, Mrs. Crawford. That's all right. Because everybody's off book tonight, right? I'll tell you this. It's a fun show. We're all going to have fun. I'm letting go of some of the stuff. Look. For a lot of this year, I've carried a lot of baggage. Letting it go. Were there weeks where I couldn't stand the sight of any of the faces I saw out there every Tuesday? Yeah, there were weeks. Not anymore. I like it. I like it. Were there weeks when I would just fantasize about getting a call saying that one of them has a cold and can't do the show. And maybe all three of them couldn't. Yeah, that happened. Probably about 10 times. No, not that many weeks. 8 weeks. 8 of the weeks of this year. Not that many weeks. Were there times I fantasized about hey, Tom, can I talk to you before the show? This is my last show. Yeah. Not anymore. I treasure. After last week, I realized I treasure these guys. Pat, Dudio, Mike. They're the lifeblood of the show. They're what makes the show work. Not me. I'm just a mere bystander on this show. They're the show. And that's how I tell you. That should be a show out there. They should make a sitcom about this place. Oh. I'll tell you where they should do a show about is where I work. Where do you work? On a sitcom. They should do a sitcom about the office I work in where we write a sitcom about someone's workplace. What did we hear? We just heard Boss Hogg. So good. From the new album, Brood X. It's on In the Red. Black Eyes from Boss Hogg. And starting us off, Bell Bottoms by the John Spencer Blues Explosion, which I believe is on Mom and Pop Records. That's on the album Orange. And today's the last day I can play that before it becomes the song from Baby Driver, which it becomes. Which I saw last night, and which is a lot of fun, and everybody's going to have a great time. With Baby Driver, and I met the Baby Driver. He was like, baby. No, he didn't say that. I said hi to the Baby Driver when we were by the theater entrance. He was there shaking hands. Hello, I'm Baby Driver. I hope you enjoyed the movie. My name's Baby Driver. His name's not Baby Driver, but so, yeah. Bell bottoms. Huge. Huge feature for the song Bell Bottoms. Holy moly. I tell you. What a tribute to the greatness that is the John Spencer Blues Explosion. Had fun, saw all sorts of people. Saw John Spencer at the thing, at the movie. Yeah, sat next to him, not bragging. I watch a movie sitting next to him. No, it's fine. No. It's fine. What'd you do last night, Dudia? Hey, Dudio, what'd you do last night? I can't hear him. Whatever. I tell you, somebody came up to me at a thing, and they were just like, you got to check out my Dudio impression. And they started doing an impression. It was pretty good. I'm not going to say, because you're going to flip out on them. But someone you know, they were doing an impression of you. I was like, that is a great impression. But it was flattering because you know what the secret to the impression was? You're a happy guy. You're happy. You have like a joy to your voice. I do the impression I do of Mike. That's like somebody needs to get their rotors changed on their brakes. It's like that moment when you go to get your brakes checked and then the guy, the mechanic's just like, yeah, you got to get your rotors changed. You're just like, oh, I missed it. The pads went straight through the road. It's 2017. We can't make these pads any stronger. These rotors. It always goes down to the road, right? Yeah, it went all the way down to the rotors. You're going to have to get the rotors changed. Really? We can't make these pads a little tougher at this point? Pads all seem to get shredded pretty fast. You're on a high alert, auto industry. We're watching you. Best show.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well. To whom am I speaking?
My name's Ben. I'm calling from Bloomington, Indiana.
Ben, what's going on tonight? Who's the best band from Bloomington, Indiana? You can say it. Say it. Come on.
The Zero Boys.
That is way up there. Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot. Bloomington's popping off right now, actually.
What about, like, Dow Jones and the Industrials? Weren't they from Bloomington?
You know, my roommate actually reissued their record recently.
Hmm. Don't tell me. He doesn't have to be shy about mailing me a copy.
I'll put in a word for you.
Oh, a word. Oh, jeepers. I hope I pass the test there.
Okay, I'll steal some
from
my roommate.
I don't want it. I'll go buy it. Just saying to do
I
a
don't
radio
think
show.
Miss them, actually.
Do a radio show, promote stuff, turn people on to good music. Guys, you guys are trapped underneath boxes upon boxes of Dow Jones and the industrial reissues. I could help move a few of them, but no, it's fine. You see if I put the word in for me, by all means, Ben.
So, okay, I'll do my best.
So what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
Okay, so I was killing time the other day, and I was scrolling through John Mayer's Instagram page.
How's that?
And I was getting pretty deep down there, and I noticed a comment from Courtney Love on a photo.
Yeah.
So John Mayer has a photo in Boston, and he has PRS guitars tagged. And so Courtney Love, I checked, writes, PRS guitars got all pissed off at me for trashing one. PM me. I want to hear about your conversion to deadheadism. I did a sweat lodge in BC, and I have a story for you, bud. My real father managed the Dead for 10 seconds. Long story short, comma, I always liked Pigpen, though.
Okay, so that's cool, right?
I guess Courtney Love's a fan of Pigpen, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Courtney Love. Good music.
Well, that's all I got.
Right?
I got a kick out of it.
Over, right? That's a good song. You like that song?
I can't say I'm a deadhead. I was at work today. We were listening to some Dead records.
Imagine Hole doing Celebrity Skin, a 38-minute version of Celebrity Skin, stretching out, ruining everything that's great about Courtney Love's catchy, great songs.
What is the what's the whole record to start with? I've never listened.
Celebrity Skin. Start with Celebrity
Skin. Celebrity Skin is the one?
Yeah. You do Live Through This or Celebrity Skin. Or do both. What are you waiting for?
I'll do it tonight.
Well, why don't you listen to the best show tonight, pal?
All right.
Do it tomorrow.
Thanks for taking my call.
Get off my phone. With peace and love, get off my phone. Peace and love, I'm going to hang up on you. Peace. Hello, hi, welcome to the best show. To whom am I speaking?
Henry from Traverse City, Michigan.
Henry from Michigan.
Yeah.
Hi, Henry, how are you?
Good.
What's going on?
I just, I'm hanging out, with my parents. I'm 8 years old.
You're hanging out with your parents.
Yeah.
How's that going? You like your parents? They're cool, right?
Yeah.
What are you doing this summer? Any fun things, in store?
I'm gonna, my cousins are coming. They live in New York City.
Your cousins live in New York City, and they're coming to visit you in Michigan. And how old are your cousins?
7 and 9.
Okay, so you're right in the middle.
Yeah.
And what are you guys going to do? You're going to go to, you're going to play with the hose? What are you going to do? Spray each other with the hose? Jump through the sprinkler?
They're on my grandma's side of the family.
Yeah.
So, they're going to stay there. So, anyways, I have something for the topic.
Well, let me ask you one thing, though, young man. What's your name again?
Henry,
that's right. Sorry, I got a bad memory, Henry. I forget things even a minute after I hear them. Henry, why don't you say this to your pops? Is your pops nearby?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Henry. What would you want to do? Is there like a water park near you? You got a water park?
Yeah.
Right?
There's a splash pad.
Splash pad. How's that? Is that fun?
Yeah.
So this is what I want you to say. Go up to your pops, right?
Yeah.
And say, dear Papa. And what you do while you're on the phone is say, dear Papa.
Yeah.
Would you take me and my cousins to the water park to splash pad, please? Let's hear it. Can you go do it now?
Yeah.
All right, go do it. Let me hear it.
Daddy, can you take me?
No, dear Papa. Say dear Papa, Henry.
All right. Dear Papa, can you take me and my cousins to the splash pad?
And now say, okay, here's the next thing you say.
Yeah?
I know you're a little cheap, right? Just say,
yeah.
I know you're a little cheap, Papa. But you're going to have...
I know you're...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Say it again. Say it to your father.
I know you're a little cheap, Papa.
But you're gonna have to crack that wallet open one of these days.
Well, you're gonna have to crack that wallet open one of these days.
You can't take it with you.
Can't take it with you.
Now what's he saying?
I think he came over to do something to me.
To do something to you? And then you just say, I'm not threatening you, Papa.
I'm not threatening you, Papa.
But it sure would be a shame if someone woke up with barbecue sauce poured on their head.
But it It sure would be a shame if somebody woke up with barbecue sauce on their head.
I would bet that if we went to Splash Pad, no one would wake up with barbecue sauce on their head, Papa.
I bet if we went to the Splash Pad, nobody would wake up with barbecue sauce on their head, Papa.
All right, what's he saying now? Is he mad?
I think he's getting angry at me.
He's getting angry? Do a funny dance. That'll get you out of it.
Yeah.
Say, and now, a funny dance.
And now, a funny dance.
Do a funny dance.
They're in the other room, presently.
He's in the other room?
Yeah.
Okay, now here's what you gotta do.
Yeah?
You're gonna have to go, does he know you're calling into this show, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, well here's what you're gonna have to do. You're gonna have to, get a pot and a spoon and bang it. Okay?
Yeah.
Go get a pot and a spoon and you just say, bang it and go, splash pad, but like hit the thing when you do it, like blink, 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 splash pad, splash pad.
Okay. All right.
Go get the spoon.
I got that.
You got a spoon and a pot?
Yep.
Okay, let's hear it. Go splash pad, splash pad.
Splash pad, splash pad.
But hit the spoon with the, hit the pot with the spoon.
I don't have the spoon in the pan right now. I'm not in my kitchen.
Don't worry. Don't worry, Henry. Don't worry. Look. What do you have for the topic, young man?
Star Wars. You know, the prequels are kind of bad.
Oh, like you can't forgive them.
Well, I kind of like them.
Like you kind of
can't really
defend them. Yeah. I had my own topic wrong. You can't defend them. So... yeah, you can't defend the topic. I mean, the movies. Sorry.
So, yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite part of the prequels?
Well, the third one, the last part when they're battling on that lava place.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
How about when he goes, no! Remember that?
Yeah, that was pretty cheesy.
Yeah, it's pretty cheesy. Who's your least favorite character in all of the prequels? Watto?
Jar Jar Binks.
What? He's cool.
Well?
Here are my favorite characters.
Yeah?
C-3PO. Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah?
The elephant-looking dude who's in the band. In Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty funny.
And that's it. Those are the only characters I like in all of Star Wars. So.
Yeah.
Great. This is a great call, Henry. You're going to have a great summer.
I hope you will, too.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing anyone ever said. No one says nice things to me here. I'll tell you this, Henry. No one says nice things to me here. No one. No one says nice things. I see these people saying nice things to each other all day long.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like. You know who says nice things to me? My wife and my dog. That's it. The only people who say nice things to me. My wife and my dog. Everybody else, I'm like dirt on their shoe. All right, young man. Have a grand evening.
You too.
And tell your papa that you're just joking, but not really, that you do want to go to the water park. But you're not going to pour barbecue sauce on his head.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Best show. Hello. Hi. Welcome to the best show.
Hey, Tom. It's David from Baltimore.
David from Baltimore. David, what's going on tonight?
Not too much. I have a few for the topic.
The topic being, I can't defend it. What can't you defend?
So these are both music related. But I guess the first one is regarding my favorite band, REM.
Yeah. Murmur.
I love Murmur.
What?
It's my favorite album ever.
Really? Okay.
But I cannot in all sense defend the song Everybody Hurts.
Why not? You don't hurt? You disagree with the sentiment?
I often hurt, but I think the way I think about it is that if it was like any other band doing it, I would not like the song whatsoever. So
yeah.
I love the album, but I can't defend that song.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know, there's worse REM songs out there than Everybody Hurts.
Which are worse?
The one with the KRS-One Ain't So Hot.
That's pretty bad.
The one was like with the rubbery drum sound. Not so good. What's the Frequency, Kenneth? Not so hot. There's a bunch of them. They made a lot. They made good music. They made some not so. Whoever who didn't make some not so good music, right?
That's true. They made some bad. I guess I can't defend probably a good 20% or 30% of their catalog.
You know. All right. What else you got?
The other one. I guess this might be a little obvious, but. I love George Harrison. I think Got My Mind Set on You is maybe the worst song ever. Well, not the worst song ever, but one of the worst songs.
That's a fun song. He covered it because it was a thing he probably liked as a kid. So he did it. You can't get too
twisted. Was it a cover song?
Yeah, it's a cover song. I did not know that. About that.
Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Were you supposed to get you all mad about it? Right?
No, I just think it's, you know, maybe it's because it's on the radio so much that, you know, it's hard to...
Yeah, shut the radio off. Look, do I like that song? No, not at all. I would say there's, for me personally, and I'm only speaking for myself here, Chief, there's worse George Harrison things than that Cloud Nine album. Like some of those drippy ones from the late 70s, oh, brother. You couldn't, right?
Dark Horse?
No, that's a great
that's
album.
The only one.
I said the late 70s. That's 74, baby. Tighten it up over there. Like the one where he's like, I'd like to welcome you to Cracker Jack Palace. We've been expecting you. Yeah, I ain't got no time for that. And that's not even the worst song on that album. Then he sounds like he's in Firefall, or George Harrison. It's one of the Beatles. He sounds like he's in Firefall. And I got this Sgt. Pepper's thing. Do you know this Sgt. Pepper's?
The reissue?
They did this reissue of this album that the Beatles put out, Sgt. Pepper's. And it's like never one of my favorite albums. But this remaster of it sounds great, right? Sounds great. But you know what? Still some bad songs on that thing. Some cornball stuff on it. What am I supposed to say? You know what I mean? It's like, why were all these rock bands writing songs that their grandparents could listen to? What is that fascination with Paul McCartney? You want to make his grandparents? Yeah, you make your grandparents happy? Throw 50 grand in front of them that you made from a rock song. That'll make your grandparents happy. Don't go write the Rudy Toot Toot song for them. When I get old, losing my hair, it's Ringo Starr singing it, actually. So, but they do all these songs, like he's writing all these old man songs on it. What do you think my favorite song on Sgt. Pepper's is?
What do I think your favorite song is? Oh, well,
And it sounds great, though.
Getting Better. No.
Yeah, it's an all right one. That's like a mid-tier Paul McCartney song.
I think that... Is that... No, yeah, that's a McCartney.
Yeah.
Because,
look, you got
Lovely
this
Rita.
Album. The Sergeant... That's all right. That's a fun... It's all right. But this album has got some... Like, She's Leaving Home. You couldn't pay me to listen to that thing. Right? Yeah, I'm leaving home. If you're going to keep playing this album, I'm leaving with her. But it's like, the album basically sounds great. It's a little false, though, the remixing of it, especially the bonus Penny Lane. I call foul on the Penny Lane remix on that thing. Loses the spirit of the song entirely. That's just me, though. But you know what I want to hear? These are the songs I want to hear from Sgt. Pepper's. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I like the sounds great now with the new thing. Within You, Without You. Good Morning, Good Morning, A Day in the Life. The four tent poles on that album. There it is. Surrounded by a lot of Rudy Toot Toot stuff. Made to please old people. Can you imagine that big guy's 25 years old, he writes a song when I'm 64? Right? He's got a screw loose. Who thinks about that stuff when they're 25? When I'm 64. I'm 78. I don't think about things when I was 64. Thanks for the call, Chief.
Thanks.
I'm being told to go to the hotline that our guest has called in. Our guest.
Hello.
Hi. Is this Greg Turkington?
Hey, guys. Yeah, hey. It sure is.
How are you tonight, Greg?
Good. Good to talk to you, Tom. I know you're a friend of the movies, so it's always nice to share my expertise with you and maybe get some trivia back in return.
Yeah, it's a fun... It's that time, and I want to let everybody know we have Greg Turkington, who is... You know him from On Cinema at the Cinema.
On Cinema at the Cinema, and then, of course, I became the first movie critic to then have a successful acting career with Decker and Ant-Man. So it had never been done, and it's really exciting to break new ground.
It is, and I was cut out of Ant-Man. You made it all the way through. My scene got cut.
Well, watch it again. Maybe you're in there. You never know.
I don't think they went and re-added it. I think I'm a part of Ant-Man history. I'm a trivia question in Ant-Man history. So, but Greg,
well, sometimes you think you watch a movie and you miss some of the details. I would watch it again a couple times and really squint and see if you see yourself.
Okay.
I've missed details. Some of these Bond movies have such complicated plots, and it really takes 10 viewings to really take it all in.
Before you can really feel like you can talk the talk with the Bond movie.
Yeah, I mean, the Bond community are friendly people, and there's no jockeying for position in that community. Everybody's pretty open as far as talking the talk. I've talked to 5-year-old kids that I thought had a very good basic gist of what Bond is about, you know what I mean? So there's no snobbery in that world. It's not like that. Movie people,
yes,
are good people.
Movie people are good people. And this, of all the seasons, this is what many consider to be the prime movie-going season, the summer.
And one of the best years, too, I think, on record, has been 2017 in terms of just the big blockbusters. You still get the small... You know, the smaller films like The Circle with Emma Watson, which is an Oscar pick for me. But in terms of the big blockbusters, nothing is really going to top the 1-2 punch of the Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell Tall Tales, and The Mummy. That has made it a very exciting summer.
It really draws kind of like a can you top this kind of line.
And they will.
And they will. I guess that's what
Hollywood always does.
They always manage to top it. So,
yeah.
So right now you feel that if you were a betting man, you would say the Pirates movie is and the Mummy had what it takes to be like the champions of 2017 so far.
And the Decker movie that's been airing in segments on Adult Swim as well, I would add to that trilogy, would probably be the three best and biggest ratings, best reviews, and just most action-packed movies so far this year.
Yeah, this season of Decker is probably has some of the most out-and-out, like the most relentless action that that Decker has ever had.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we have code-breaking sequences that are winning awards left and right. People are spellbound by those because in addition to showing how the spies really do it and sort of giving you insight into how it's done in the field, there's also movie trivia built into those sequences, which makes them a lot of fun for Movie Bus, and that's a big part of our audience.
Yeah, you really keep that's interesting. I did not think about it from that angle, is that you're really always working to have that angle covered, that for fans, I guess they can watch the show as the show, but movie fans get the nod to cinema and to the love of movies.
That's how I do it. And, you know, it's the funnest job I've ever had is working some of those little movie tidbits into the codes. And those are the most popular sequences this season. So
is there one that you feel, one kind of movie reference that might have gone over people's heads?
No, because people that watch the show tend to really care about the movies, you know. And so I think they get it. And if they don't, you know, then they can look it up online or get books. Mm-hmm. There's a book called The Film Bus Checklist that I always recommend that lists all the titles and gives a rating, 1 to 10 rating for each movie. Mm-hmm. And it's really informative. And this, you know, the thing that's crazy though right now that's kind of, I don't know if it's upsetting me, but this Mummy movie, which I think is the best of the Mummy movies, and that's going all the way back to 1940 with The Mummy's Hand. But this Mummy movie, you know, it's supposed to be the beginning of Universal's new campaign to have something called the Dark Universe, mm-hmm. where they're bringing back all these classic movie monsters. But the only problem there is that Decker actually did that already a few months ago with Decker versus Dracula. And it just seems very strange to me that when we brought back on Decker versus Dracula, not only the Mummy, you know, coincidentally or not, but also the Wolfman and Frankenstein. And then suddenly, after Decker versus Dracula goes viral, suddenly Universal is like, oh, well, let's bring back those characters ourselves. Let's bring back the classic monsters. It would be distressing, except it's kind of a tip of the hat to what we're doing with Decker, and especially what I was doing with Decker versus Dracula. So it's kind of exciting in another way, but it's not something you're going to sue over, but it definitely they've crossed the line, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess it's that it comes down to that old thing about you steal from the best. Isn't it? There's like a statement about the making of art that has something to do with stealing from the best, like the best steal and the something. I'm bad with.
Yeah, and I don't want to accuse Universal of stealing, but it's just a little curious. That's all I'm saying. It's just a little curious. And you know, they did have. I'm going to give them that. Give them this. Is in the Mummy movie. If you've seen the movie, Russell Crowe is excellent as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He plays both parts. I mean, you can't even tell it's the same person some of the time. He's really, really good. And so we haven't done anything with Jekyll and Hyde. So, you know, they put their own twist on it, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So they did find some angles that that they could definitely call their own.
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's kind of cool. But I don't know, have you seen The Mummy yet, Tom?
I have not seen The Mummy.
A couple times?
I have not made it out yet to see The Mummy.
Well, you got to see it. You got to see it. I know you're busy with the radio and all that, but you got to see The Mummy.
I mean, I'm hearing pretty good things about The Mummy. It's just there's a lot of movies I really don't want to miss because you're one of the biggest proponents of this. And I should say we have Greg Turkington on the show right now. He is one of the hosts of On Cinema at the Cinema, Adult Swim's On Cinema at the Cinema, and is also
also the star of Adventures of Decker and Kington, which is on Adult Swim television.
Yeah, which is actually just people should search for Decker, though. It's not the Adventures
Decker.
Just Decker is the straight title for it.
That's like the abbreviated title, like Mission Impossible is M:I, you know, and that's the way Decker is, because both characters are pretty important to the show's success and just moving the plots along, and especially saving the day or saving the planet from destruction. Mm-hmm. When you have a codebreaker come in and do that, that kind of, you don't always need to shoot somebody, you know. Sometimes they'll put it in the script anyway because the star, you know, the co-star decides he wants to shoot people because he thinks it makes them look tough. But the code breaking is really all that's needed, I think, a lot of times.
I always look at as what you and Tim Heidecker, who plays Decker on Decker, I always look at it as the kind of thing where it's like a brains versus brawn kind of thing, where your character Kington works with your brain, and Decker is more about the like using his hands and his body and all of the to solve what he has to.
That's a great analysis. I think that's 100% true, and that's one of the reasons that the show's so successful, I think.
Now, when you're doing Decker, it's pretty. It's you and it's Tim, but you guys have a pretty thrilling world of other characters and actors. What is it like for you? You're an actor at this point. You were in Marvel's Ant-Man, and you're a legitimate actor. But what is it like to work with some of the other actors who've had these very storied careers?
Well, yeah, like Joe Estevez, of course, is absolutely the most professional actor you would ever meet. Comes in, knows all his lines. Nobody else can do it like he can in terms of, some of those are very talky episodes, especially when he's addressing Congress, you know, and he just comes in and nails it. And he's got stories of working on all kinds of films that you've seen, like Little Lost Sea Serpent or Apocalypse Now, just different films that I've seen over the years that I've loved. We had Jimmy McNichol on, this season, playing the son of Dracula. And that was, you know, an interesting character for him to do. I don't think he'd ever played a vampire before. But, of course, you know, Jimmy had a great movie career in his own right. We had Joey Travolta, who was in Beverly Hills Cop 3, did a lot of other movies and TV shows and things. And he played Judge Buchanan, who is one of the most interesting judges, I think, that you've ever seen on TV. And we might be seeing more of the Judge Buchanan character because it was very, very popular.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and you also had Denny Lane on.
And that's funny because I don't know if you saw the Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Men Tell Tall Tales, but they had Paul McCartney from Wings. And we came out, you know, a couple weeks later, and we had Denny Lane from Wings. And I got to say, as great as Paul was, I think Denny was better in our film. It was a better role, and I think he did a better job than Paul did. So, you know, compare them and see what you think. And, of course, both men collaborated to do the theme song in one of my favorite Bond movies, Live and Let Die, which was Denny and Paul's Wings.
Yeah,
that song.
That was a huge, huge hit, and one of the biggest Bond themes of all of the Bond movies. That was definitely one of the biggest themes. I think that was not a number one hit, though. Not a number one hit.
It was probably number one, but I'd have to look it up.
Mm-hmm. It's
And then, but you know, those are, you know, we work with a lot of great celebrities. That's why I feel kind of weird coming to you tonight. The reason that I wanted to call in was with sort of some celebrity gossip, which I don't know if that interests you or not, but
Definitely.
Okay.
What is gossip?
This is strange, but there's a guy, he's a celebrity, he's an actor, has been in films like The Fantastic Four, and he is also a movie critic, anyway, supposed to be, you know, legitimate movie critic. He's a co-star of On Cinema at the Cinema, Tim Heidecker, and he has not seen The Mummy. He's not seen it. And he's supposed to be a big Tom Cruise head. He named his son after Tom Cruise, but what's the point of naming your kid Tom Cruise if you can't be bothered to go see one of the top three Tom Cruise movies of all time? What's the point, you know? Anyway, I think it's interesting, and I would probably take his movie reviews with a grain of salt, knowing this.
Huh, because...
In the future.
Is that because of, like, a lack of dedication to the...
Yes.
To the genre of...
Well, a lack... I mean, he's had problems with drugs, and he's going to go on trial for murder and this sort of thing, so I guess he's got his hands full. That's probably his excuse, but... I mean, it takes 2 hours out of your day to go see The Mummy. I've seen it three or four times already, and I know that, you know, he doesn't have a regular job, so he should be able to find the time to go see The Mummy. Mm-hmm. And to pretend otherwise, like he's been doing online and telling mutual friends, I'm hearing that he's saying, when they ask him, oh, have you seen The Mummy? He's like, oh, yeah, I saw it, but, like, changing the subject really quickly. Mm-hmm. And I have absolute proof that he has not seen The Mummy. Absolute proof.
That
he I don't care what he said. He gets a list, you know, he goes and looks at the movie poster at the store or whatever and writes down a couple of the actors' names and then says, oh, yeah, I saw it. You know, it stars Sophia Boutella or whatever. But that's not seeing the movie. That's seeing the poster or seeing the trailer for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah, that is. What is this? Hey, Jason, Mike's telling me to do this other line here while Greg is on three.
You can just take that one later.
But that, well, no, I'm being, being told to just, if I do that and that.
Yeah,
they should be. Okay,
best show, hello. Yeah, hi, Tom, it's Tim Heidecker calling in. I checked in, listened to what, do you have Greg there?
Greg?
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen,
I'm here.
This is Bull. You should cut him off because he's been pulling this thing about for the past 3 days now, going on wherever he can get himself heard on the internet, on Twitter and everything, creating this rumor, this junk that I haven't seen the mummy. No, it's not true. And I've proved it online. And I apologize for calling in like this and getting hot about this, but I can't sit here and listen to this guy get on your radio show and start just making stuff up out of whole cloth. So I'm asking you, Tom, to hang up on this loser. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. And
I have
the mummy.
I have absolute 100% certifiable proof that you have not seen the mummy.
How can you have 100%. Proof that I All right, fine. What is the evidence that you have that I didn't see the mummy?
All right.
I want to know, because how do you prove that I haven't seen it? What if I just saw it 2 minutes ago?
That's a fair point.
It wouldn't be ending at 7 o'clock.
What is it?
Because it's not a round number. If they started it at 5 o'clock, it would be more likely to end at 7:12 or
what
something.
What is the
like
evidence that you've been talking so all weekend about that you have evidence that I haven't
seen
the mummy,
never
which
seen
I've seen? Go prove it.
I can prove it. I have a friend named Merrill who's a retiree, works at Pacific Theater, which is a 4-minute walk from where you're staying. And I checked that on Google Maps. 4-minute walk. And the next closest theater that's showing the mummy, okay, is like 7 miles away. So there's no way you're going to go 7 miles when there's something you can walk to in 4 minutes. And if you're driving, it's a 1 minute drive. So this guy, Merrill, is retired. He works seven mm-hmm. days a week. He works the full afternoon into the late shifts. And I know for a fact you don't wake up until 3 o'clock. So I'm not concerned about the 11 a.m. matinees. You would never be there. He has been taking the tickets at the Mummy the whole time. I've talked to him several times because I've gone there. I've seen it.
Okay. Circumstantial. This is circumstantial evidence. Go ahead.
And he said that you have never set foot in there to see the Mummy. And he's seen you come in for other movies over the years, but he says you did not come in even once for the Mummy. And I know
I want to turn it to Tom, because I believe, Tom, yes, that you would be an impartial judge here. You would be a mediator if this ever went to that place. Or,
sure.
Based on what Greg just told you, is that evidence, is that proof that I have not seen the Mummy? Yes or no?
His friend Merrill works?
Yeah, that he didn't happen to see me when I went to go see the Mummy, which I did.
But he's the ticket taker. He's the one
takes
your ticket.
He's lying.
Well,
then,
if you can't get into the movie without a ticket, if that's the guy, he's actually holding the evidence, and he's not holding a ticket that you never went to.
You had your time. You had your time. This, by the way, this false accusation, this mudslinging, is coming from a guy who has admitted to not seeing Sully when that came out, and he ended up going on my show.
Five times.
Hold on. He came on my show, and he went and lied to my audience and said that he saw that.
You said I would be kicked out on cinema if I didn't tape that confession. That was coercion. I did not. That was a lie. You said I could not do any more reviews on your show if I didn't say that.
You got to rein this in here.
Sully. Okay. You made me
do
that.
You got to rein this in. I got to get my word in.
All right. An initial, I would say that to be fair to Tim, Greg, it is not ironclad proof because Merrill didn't see Tim. There are a lot of theaters playing.
Thank you.
The Mummy, but no, you could also there have to be other ways of testing Tim's. I don't know.
Ask me anything you want to know about the Mummy because I like I said, I've seen it 3 times now. I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan. I love horror movies. Of course I saw it. And he goes online and runs my name through mud. Okay? And I'm pissed. So,
all right,
I want to know
what the name of Tom Cruise's character is.
Tom Cruise's character in The Mummy?
Yeah.
Nick Morton.
Is it The Mummy?
Yes. No, his character name was Nick Morton. He is a U.S. military officer who accidentally unearthed the tomb of Princess Ahmed. And that sets off the whole show. That sets off the whole movie. So, you know, what else?
Well, I mean, I do have to say that it sounds like you were reading that.
Yeah. It does.
I'm not reading anything. I know. I didn't memorize this. I didn't read the script. I don't know I don't have the script in front of me. What I'm doing is going by memory from what I remember seeing. It was one of my favorite movies of the year. Now, this is all right, a sideshow. It's a sideshow.
The Mummy, then. Is the mummy Tom Cruise?
Tom? Okay, first of all, you think I'm going to go and spoil that for Tom here? Not Tom Cruise, but Tom Sharpling here, who has admitted that he hasn't even seen that. He hasn't seen the movie.
Yeah, but I don't...
So now I'm going to go on his show and ruin the ending and give him information that's going to make him have a worse time at the theater.
Well,
why would you do
probably
that?
Just saying
why would you
that.
Want
he's
that?
Probably seen it.
Tom, do you want me to see the ending?
Look, I haven't seen. You know what? Honestly, for the sake of you two, who are the hosts of On Cinema at the Cinema for on Adult Swim, even though
it's really I'm sorry, Tom, but it's such a sideshow for him to come at me hard like this. Because what
happened in the plane sequence? What happens in the sequence with the airplane? Tell us about that scene.
Which one? I mean, are you kidding me?
Any of them. If there are more than one. Are there more than one? How many plane sequences are there, and what happened?
What? Well, let me ask you this. Was Sully guilty or found innocent? Answer that. You won't.
He was found innocent.
in the end of Sully. What?
Well, that's the, that I bring that up because Mr. He has evidence that I didn't see the mummy is on record as not seeing Sully. So, listen, I didn't, like I said, I love these movies. I don't follow, I don't, I'm not, you know, studying them as, I'm not majoring in what the mummy
or
is about
them.
In college. No, I did watch it, Greg. And the whole idea for you coming on and promoting this,
well,
completely unauthorized.
Who did Michael Caine play? Who did
conspiracy theory.
What role did Michael Caine play? Jekyll
but don't
or Hyde?
Try to, no, Michael Caine's not in The Mummy. I'm not stupid. Okay? Now, and by the way,
but
it
Michael
doesn't
Caine
matter
did
if
play,
I...
But Michael Caine did play Jekyll and Hyde in 1990. And you didn't know that either, because you don't know movie trivia.
I'm not, that's not my entitlement. I'm not in charge of knowing. That's why I have you on the show as a guest.
Look.
And you're so jealous of the success that Decker has, and no one cares. Everyone writes me every day saying, can we lose Kington? Why did you bring that character back? He slows the
if
show down.
If you lose
down.
Kington, the Decker dies every up because Decker would be dead. Kington has saved your neck.
That's such baloney. It's junk. And Tom, I'm ashamed that you have a guy like this on. Honestly,
well, I mean,
it comes on.
It's the summer, and it's the summer movie season, and I wanted to talk to someone who's an expert on summer movies, and the first
thank you.
Name that comes to mind is Greg.
Well, he brings up the pirate movie, which was a flop. You can look that up. It was a flop, and it's terrible what's happening with Johnny Depp right now, and I'm so sad for him because he's such a good guy, and I'm watching this guy fall apart before my eyes. I was actually friends with him for a while when he was living not far up from the Sunset Strip. I partied with him. He's a good guy, and he's in over his head with the political stuff, and I feel bad for him. And his movie sunk. It sunk the box office. It probably ruined the summer for the big blockbuster movies.
It was a huge hit.
And then you have this guy. You have this guy come out, Greg. You have Greg Turkington come on and start talking about how it's the movie of the summer. Well, that's insulting to people that actually know what they're talking about. And it's hurtful to Johnny Depp because it seems like you're making fun of him. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
and if he's going to slander my name on your show, mm-hmm. then we're going to have big, big problems. You
so
understand?
First of all, Tim, how is your face doing?
It's fine. I've never been better, okay? I'm healthy. I'm clean. I'm preparing for what is going to be the trial of
for
my
jail.
Life.
Prepare for jail.
No! No! Cut his mic because
can you, okay, well, in a nutshell, can either one of you explain this upcoming legal matter?
I can very quickly. We had a wonderful festival of music a few months ago. We had an issue at the festival, a technical
not
issue.
Not we. I had nothing to do with that death trap.
No, we had a small technical issue. Unfortunately, we had turned out to be a discredited doctor, Dr. Sand, who I had a very tangential relationship with, turned out to be a nut. And he ended up, unfortunately, hit a vape giveaway plan that I didn't know about, and that some kids got hurt, basically, using these vape, which turns out to be, I think, accidental, but there's still some liability, technically some liability for the festival organizers, of which I am one of many. So that's the nutshell.
Okay.
And Tim's going to go to jail for 20 counts of murder. That's the summation of the whole thing.
Well, I'm not speaking to that, and I'm, you know, my lawyer's begging me not to even be on the air talking about this, but
if that's
that
the
has
case,
nothing to do with
it. You have plenty of time to see the mummy.
In jail.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to bring some levity to this.
Well, it's not funny, Tom. And if somebody was going on the airwaves, the radio airwaves, and slandering your name, I think, first of all, you'd have a big problem with the guest. And I think you'd almost have a bigger problem with the host. And I think it would become
Escape
an
from
issue
Alcatraz?
Where,
have you seen that one? Tom, have you seen Escape from Alcatraz or Cool Hand Luke?
Of course.
So these are movies. I mean... Tim, and look,
no, but Tom, I don't know what gives you the right to broadcast.
Look, because
I'm
the host of this show is what gives me the right to broadcast.
Well, yes, but are you going to have somebody on just defaming people all day? I mean, slander,
said,
and that's why there's laws.
Of course there's laws. But all he's saying is that by, in his opinion, I don't think he's speaking for anybody other than himself, that he feels you didn't see the Mummy movie.
No, he said he has evidence to prove that I didn't see
it. I do.
See, that's the kind of talk that you're putting on.
Do you have other, do you have other evidence then, Greg?
Well, he can't answer my question about the plane sequence.
Tim,
this is what's fascinating. Tom Sharpling starts backing off, supporting this crazy, kooky conspiracy theory because suddenly he's worried about how I'm going to handle this two, three, four steps.
Look, you are not the guest tonight. No offense, Tim. Greg is the guest.
I'm the focus because Greg brought me into this. He said my name, and instead of hanging up on him as you should have, as you legally should have. Actually,
legally. I should have.
Because I am not authorized to be discussed on the show. I'm not authorized to be discussed.
I didn't realize I needed authorization
There's a perimeter, and there are boundaries by which you can speak about me and of me. And Greg knows that, and he can look at the contract he signed, which allows him to be part of the On Cinema family.
Well, that's between you and him, Tim. I didn't sign
anything. Okay, well, yes, but you are part and parcel
to
this
whole
mess.
If you're going to take me to court, I guess I should just take a number because you're going to be doing a fair amount of time at the courthouse.
So there's another slanderous remark, and it's going. Obviously, this stuff's being recorded. I'm going to go back and listen to all this.
It's being broadcast right now.
By the way, you're in Greg, you're in hot water too.
Well, Tim,
I wouldn't think that Greg's out of the woods
okay,
either.
Well, all of this can be cleared up if you just tell Greg, walk Greg through what happened in one of the plane sequences in The Mummy.
Listen, it's such a sideshow. Whether I saw The Mummy or not is irrelevant to this conversation.
To the question of whether or not you saw The Mummy, it's very relevant.
Just
not
do
in
it.
My not no
10 seconds.
This all stems from jealousy.
Well, why don't you then be the bigger person and clear it up?
Is Tom Cruise the Mummy, or is a woman the Mummy?
I don't know if I can even discuss that right now.
Well, this sounds a little. I gotta say, I was trying to be as impartial as I can be. Tim, it really sounds like you're hemming and hawing here, like you did not see the Mummy. I'm going back on what I had said. Based on Meryl tearing tickets, yes, I said that's not a good yardstick for whether you...
What about the fact that Russell Crowe? What about the fact that Russell Crowe is in the Mummy? How am I going to know that
play?
If I don't show up? He plays Dr. Jekyll.
Who else?
So, by the way, here's some stuff Greg doesn't know. Directed by Alex Kurtzman, written by David Koepp, Krista McQuarrie, and Dylan Cussman. All right,
I know that. I already knew that.
Oh, it's theatrically released in the United States on June 9th, 2017.
You're definitely reading that. That doesn't prove you saw the movie.
No, it proves you didn't see the movie.
Tim, I gotta say, this is not a good look for you, Tim, as people say. This is just not a good look.
You know what? At least I'm the only guy on this call who's willing to defend himself and willing to stick up for himself.
Okay, well,
and
you're
not
also
just bulldozed over by you guys.
You're also the only guy on this call who's being accused of things.
Well, why am I being accused of? It's my right, by the way. It's my right to not see The Mummy as well. If you say the Constitution,
well, then you shouldn't be a
movie
critic. Then you should stop pretending to be a movie critic.
Can I just clear the air here? You're talking about the biggest film of the year.
Can't even go see it. What kind of critic is that?
Well, Greg,
Siskel and Ebert would be at the movies the day they came out, or sneak previews of it.
Greg, is there a larger
they don't wait
issue
they're in
here,
their
Greg?
Cell to watch the movie.
Greg, is there? That was a low blow. I got to stick up for Tim on that. To say to wait till he's in his cell to see the movie. That's first of all, I doubt he's going to have an individual television screen in his cell.
No.
I mean, I guess it would be in the common area.
Not for the counts that I'm up against. But, no, go ahead, Tom. I know you want to say something here.
Is there a larger thing? Is there something that goes beyond this Mummy movie, Greg, that you're angry about? It seems like this is a little... Even if Tim didn't see the movie and was still trying to pass
which
him off as if he had seen it. It feels like this runs a little deeper than just whether or not he saw the movie The Mummy.
Well, and yeah, it runs deeper in that he basically at gunpoint had me tape this weird video saying that I had not seen Sully, even though everyone knows I'd seen it, and I had seen it, and I had produced ticket stubs, and I'd actually been at a critics sneak preview with other critics several days before it came out, and which was photo documented, and I saw the movie all in all four or five times, and he made me film this thing to put on cinema saying I hadn't seen it at all under threat of me not being allowed on the on cinema program anymore, which is he knows is very important not only to me but to all the viewers who need actual movie expertise, which you can't get on the show unless I'm there because Tim doesn't even watch the movies.
Well, I'll say this. It's clearly a sign of somebody who's vengeful and jealous and sad and really kind of pathetic and desperate for attention and desperate
says to someone
hurt
who
me,
just
even though given him every
kids.
Opportunity.
Says somebody who just killed 20 kids.
No, that's okay. Well, listen, I'll say it one more time. It's irrelevant whether or not I saw The Mummy or not. I happen to have seen it, so we can clear that up. And I just, I hope, you know, you can just, Tom, use your better judgment next time and before you bring on people that start talking out of their rear about stuff they don't know anything about.
I didn't realize.
A rageaholic.
Let's try to find the silver lining in this. Is there something?
New Decker's on this Sunday at midnight on Adult Swim. It, last episode was the best episode yet. Check it out on adultswim.com. I put everything into this show. I put my heart, my soul, my music. It's wall-to-wall music from Dakar and DKR, and there's all kinds of characters in it. There's small parts. It's a lot of fun. This new episode features one of my great friends, Manuel, from the hit rock group Dakar. And
which is your band.
His band that nobody likes.
I was under the impression that Dakar and DKR, which is what, your DJ?
It's an EDM project. It's an offshoot of Dakar featuring Axiom on... who generates beats occasionally with me, but largely it's my project.
Now, which one of the two donated the skin to you?
Manuel did. That was, he's sort of my brother now, literally, we share skin, and he donated some skin from his back, lower back, and
Don't talk about music.
Okay. Well, he asked. I'm only answering the question.
Okay, well, let's find Tim and Greg, I want you to each think of a nice thing you can say to the other.
Well, I've always said this. The guy knows everything about movies, which is, you know, almost the sign of a psychopath. But I retract that.
Oh, that's not nice. That you call
no, him. Well, it is odd.
Yeah, as opposed to somebody
so
that murders people. I'm a psychopath because I know about killing 20 people. That's a psychopath. Someone that murders 20 people is a psychopath, officially.
You're acting like I went into the crowd with a machete and started chopping people's heads off. Okay?
Well, you gave them painted drugs that you shouldn't be giving to underage kids anyway.
Are you going to give something nice like the host here, Tom, asked for or not?
I think Tim Heidecker is great in the role of Decker, and I think that I've said this before, I think that if the current James Bond retires, that they should bring Tim in and consider him to be Bond in future movies,
because
he really pulls off the spy thing very convincingly, and he's very charismatic as Jack Decker, and I've always said that.
Well, that's a nice thing.
I appreciate that.
That's a nice thing, and Tim, in if you could kind of separate out you calling Greg a psychopath, it's a very nice thing to say.
It's
he's
eccentric. It's eccentric to know so much about movies and care about what year The Man with One Red Shoe came out and all that crap. And the way he collects tapes and numbers them, it's a sign of, you know, a mental issue, but okay. We don't have to.
I'm
not saying that like it's a bad thing.
No. That's like saying
some college professor who's an expert in the Roman era is a psycho because that's their specific interest and they have a lot of expertise to share. So they're not a psycho, are they? They're a successful professor.
Well, look, let me say, we've already gone long on this segment because it was supposed to be a quick movie, summer movie update, and now it's turned into a real smear of who knows what. I guess we'll have to unpack what this was. What, Decker, there's a couple more episodes of Decker for this season.
There's eight more.
And then what's next for Tim Heidecker and Greg Turkington?
Tim's going on trial.
I'm going on trial in the fall, and hopefully, the jury of my peers out there who I, respect and everything, hopefully are just going to find the answer that I'm hoping for, which is full acquittal. And we can get back to making more Decker and reviewing movies at On Cinema and join the On Cinema family. I know, Tom, you're a Patreon guy. We've got a Patreon set up so we can bring you a new Oscar special for 2018, a live Oscar special. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of exciting things happening. I think that the trial is going to be looked back on as a technicality, as sort of a blip. And I'm excited to get past that. Mm-hmm. And,
great.
And that's all I have to say about that.
And see the mommy. I'll leave you with three words.
See the mommy.
See the mommy.
Okay. Well, that's
great movie. Loved it.
I'm a fan of everything you both do. It's an honor to have you both on. And thank you, my guest, Greg Turkington. And thank you for the call, jumping on to the segment, Tim Heidecker.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But thank you, Tom.
Of course. And I guess we'll talk to you guys soon. Take care. That was enthusiastic. Wow. Got very heated very fast. Kind of like this record from Baby Man. No, by Simon Doom. Why is it the album's called Baby Man? Oh, I can't do anything right. I can't do it. That drives me up the wall. The album's called Baby Man. Whatever. Oh, yeah. Simon Doom. Great album. Baby Man. Song's called I Feel Unloved. You like that, Mike? Yeah, Mike likes it. And I'm telling you, this guy likes nothing. He likes these dumb dead tapes. He gave me one. I threw it in the garbage. He's like, this is the dead show you should listen to. I was like, oh, yeah. Y'all check it out. Nope. Somebody can look on the turnpike, you'll see. If you want to walk along the turnpike, you can find you might be able to find some Grateful Dead, like four CDs of Grateful Dead. Who did him? Oh, that song, my friend Nick, Nick Gazin did a good video for that. You know, talented artist Nick Gazin. He directed a video for Simon Doom. Very good video. On a veritable shoestring budget. So check that out. And check the album out. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Patreon, that's how you support the best show, my friends. We do know ads anymore on the show. There are no ads. We make our money one way and one way only. Through Best Show listener support. You give what you can. We appreciate it. You go to patreon.com/thebestshow. And you give at different levels, and we give you different things. There's just put up the conversation I had with Dave Weigel about his book, The Show That Never Ends, at the Strand Bookstore in New York City. That's up for people who give to the Patreon. That's on the Patreon page. There's stickers and pins and all sorts of things you get. But you get the satisfaction of knowing you're helping keep the best show going. And it keeps the lights on, and then I can pay people for doing the work they do. Patreon.com/thebestshow. And don't just assume everybody else has you covered. Throw us just a couple bucks. If that's all you can do, that's all you can do. Every cent helps. We appreciate it. Thank you. Best show.
Hey, Tom. It's Mark from Newbridge News.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
How you doing? I'm doing good.
Good.
Doing good. Loving the show. It's been great.
Thanks. Thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, not to bring it down, but are you following this Jared Kushner news today?
I might be a little behind.
Well, apparently it came out today that the day before the election, he gets, I think it's like a $285 million loan from Deutsche Bank.
Uh-huh.
It's a little fishy, right?
Yeah, I'd say it's where there's smoke, there's fire.
You got to trademark that. That's great.
Well, I think that's I've maybe been beaten to the punch on where there's smoke, there's fire.
I've never heard of it before. Hey, speaking of fire, is hot enough for you out there? This heat wave is just killing me.
Man, it has been brutal. Today was probably the first day where I did not feel like somebody dumped a bucket of water on my head the second I stepped outside. But it's going to get hot again tomorrow. It's going to be right back in.
You're going to feel like wet burlap in that Fred Perry shirt. Oh.
Yeah, I guess I will. I guess that's my punishment for wearing Fred Perry shirts. I guess
I'm busting your bees.
That's okay. That's okay, Mark. I get it.
Uh-huh. Ooh, are you following the Ratmen this season?
I have been. Yeah, yeah.
They're killing it, right?
It's been a pretty good start for the Ratmen. Yeah,
they're doing so good. And I'll tell you what a smart move it was starting Gus Brennan's ghost at left field.
Yeah, I'll say this. After a longtime Ratman star, Gus Brennan was killed, I thought that was the last we had heard of him. But who would have known that his ghost would keep his active game streak alive?
I know. It's crazy. They're letting him play. And apparently everything it says in the Bible about there not being sex in heaven, apparently it's true, because Gus is really concentrating out there, and I'll tell you, for the first time in a long time, he's shagging balls, not getting his shagged.
Yeah.
Did you have to beep me?
I had to do a micro beep on that one.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta say, Mark, for a caller, you've come pretty stocked here. It's like the news. It's like 10-10 wins, where it's like, you know, you covered the headlines, and then you did sports, and then you did weather, and it really, it's very impressive. It's like the only thing you didn't get to was like entertainment news.
Oh, that was coming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, I'll come right out and ask you. What are your thoughts on this new Crucier Blotzer rat beef?
On the what?
The Crucier Blots are rat beef. Why?
What, is that food? Is that a sandwich or something?
No!
Like,
do I have to take you to rat school?
When you say rat, are you... Oh, you're talking about the band Rat.
Yeah. What other rat would I be talking about?
The animal running around rat?
I'm tired of them.
Yeah, they've had their moment. They had their moment when that movie came out.
Oh, yes. Ben.
No, the...
My little ratty friend.
I was going to say Rat.
That's how Rat's Gaby's got his name.
From the movie Ben?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say Ratatouille, but that's... Yeah, okay. So Rat, you're talking...
Oh, you're thinking of Rat at Rat R, the downtown noise band.
No, I'm not thinking... I was not thinking about that, Rat at Rat R, no.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, Rat, you're talking about with two T's, R-A-T-T, Rat.
Yes. See, apparently, their drummer, this incredibly brilliant guy named Robert Blotzer,
mm-hmm.
he ended up getting the name somehow, so he had his own Rat, and then the other three guys... The other three founding guys, Juan, Warren, and Stephen, Robin Crosby has since passed on. Anyway, the other three guys, for reasons I don't understand, don't like Robert Blotzer.
I don't know, and yeah.
I don't get it.
I guess.
It's one of those what's not to like things.
Yeah, it just seems like there's such an abundance of joy and good energy coming from him at all mm-hmm. times, and just generous, selfless spirit.
Yes, yeah.
From him.
A true namaste warrior, like another great drummer.
Who's that?
Nicky Dolenz.
Yes, he was big on namaste and...
charitable works.
He's a very generous man, by all accounts. It's, I don't know
what... Let's get real for a second.
What's that?
Let's get real for a second, all right?
Well, okay.
How are you really doing?
How am I really doing?
Yeah.
I'm good. I gotta say, all things, I'm good. I'm kinda...
Good.
Enjoying my year and my summer as best I can and trying to focus on positive stuff. Like, you know... Like, yeah, I'm doing good.
That's all we can do.
Yeah, how are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, too. I'm feeling pretty good today because I made a $45 donation to the Newbridge Food Bank, so I feel pretty good about that.
Oh, that's good. That's a very constructive thing to do.
You know, we got to help the community.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, you know, like they say, no good deed goes unpunished, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was on my way from there to donate $50 to the local animal shelter, and then my tire blew out. So, I'm screwed.
Oh, man. So you were driving from the food bank to the shelter.
Yes, yeah.
And you were going to give, and then you find now you have to pay to get a tire fixed.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, hey, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
I know you talk frequently and somewhat incessantly about pizza parlors on the show.
Okay.
Have you tried that new place in East Newbridge called Poor Pizza?
Poor, which is spelled P-O-O-R-E, right?
E, yes. I guess it's a family name, but... Not a great name for any sort of food service facility.
Cause yeah, just to say that it's poor, like
poor.
Like, hey, is there? How do you think the pizza is at Poor Pizza?
At Poor
and
Pizza.
Then you're like, yeah. Not a. It's a family name. They should have probably still gone with. Like
put you in mind of another pizza place that I've heard you discuss over the years.
What's that?
Gray Pizza, another family name.
It's really...
terrible name for a pizza place.
Because all you can think of is a pizza that's been left out,
yep.
that they made, and they're that's been sitting under that, like sitting on that ledge behind behind the glass.
It's called the pizza ledge.
The pizza ledge.
Yeah.
Sitting on the pizza ledge. You ever go to a pizza parlor, Mark, and then you order a slice, and then the guy reaches down and pulls out a pie that's under the counter?
Yep. That's the dry pizza shelf down there.
Yeah, I never understood how they thought that that was like an appetizing move.
I know. Yeah, I don't get it. It's like, yeah, sure, hold on. That's my Italian voice. I didn't like that at all. Did you?
I thought it was a little...
Hey, that's, come on.
Yeah, it's a little... First of all, I don't
think... like the Iron Sheik a little bit, doesn't it?
I was going to say, I think that impression gave an opportunity for a lot of people to not be happy.
Look, I can't help it.
Well, you were aware of it, I guess, as it was happening. Yeah. It seemed like you started to walk it back before
you... I totally did. Like... the words were coming out, and it's just, oh, yeah, this is going horribly.
Yeah, you were already
check,
started.
Please. Yeah. I said, I asked myself for a check. Check, please.
Yeah, I guess, well, that's all I get. You pulled the plug on your own thing, Mark.
I did, yeah.
So that poor pizza, I don't know, you couldn't, I don't think that's for me.
Yeah, I don't think it's good. I was going to go there after donating $100 to the Newbridge Parks Fund, but I didn't get to go.
Okay.
You know, they're going to put my name on a bench in a park.
Oh, okay.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, for making a donation?
Yeah. But, I mean, to get your own bench there, but I want everyone to rest assured, anyone can sit on the bench, not just Mark Zervos, okay? So don't worry about that.
Sure. Wait, Mark Zervos.
Yeah.
For that rings. What is it? I know that name, Mark.
No, Zervos is a very common name.
I don't know if Zervos is that common. Hold on one second. Just hold on. I'm just searching this. Oh my God, Mark Zervos, what? you're the Newbridge shover.
I am not.
That's what it said. I mean,
you say that. I'll tell you, you're as clueless as the idiot who runs the Necco Wafer Twitter account. And that's saying something.
Okay.
So you take that back.
Yeah.
What, think of this.
Look, I can understand. I know you're not alone with the Necco Wafer Twitter account thing, but I want to talk more about this. This is a Newbridge shover.
This is old news.
And yeah, well, it's not that old news, and because there's a lot of people listening from all over who might not know that it was three years, I think, summer of 2014, there was all throughout town, there was a rash of like, I guess, shovings is the best way to say it, where people were getting shoved into the street, shoved off diving boards, shoved into lion cages, shoved into, like, soup vats, I think there was one.
I heard about that one.
You heard about the soup vat one, yeah.
Yeah,
I
sick.
Mean, people were getting, yeah, you name it, they were getting shoved by this masked assailant who, I believe it was like the Newbridge Herald, Republican Times Herald, had called the person the pusher man. And it's like so fortunate that no one died, but people were scared. People in Newbridge were rightfully terrified and housebound by it. And I remember a feature article in Tempo magazine described it as the summer of shove. And Mark Zervos was the name. It was arrested. And his trial actually starts at the end of this week at the Newbridge courthouse, the county courthouse, and Racquetball Hall of Fame, which is the same building.
That's really weird to me.
From what I've understood, it was they both had a rightful claim to the lot.
Right.
And no, neither was budging. I guess they probably could have used a shove. That's not that fun. I apologize for that joke.
You shoehorned that, but it kind of worked.
Yeah, but they ended up compromising and sharing the thing where the county courthouse is in the same building as the Racquetball Hall of Fame.
Right. And I heard that sometimes they'll have these games going, you know, at the big, you know, that sound that racquetball makes.
Mm-hmm.
They're having that going on one side of the building, and then they're having this, like, a quiet trial on the other side, and there's a lot of overlap, and apparently it's a really bad scene.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the best planning, but that's Newbridge for you.
Oh, what, you think you're above Newbridge?
No, I'm just saying it's where I'm from, and it's I understand, I get it at this point.
Don't talk down to me, okay?
I'm not talking down to you. Why would you say I'm talking down to you?
Because look, you can't talk to me like that.
I'm not talking down to you or like that.
Well, you just did.
I did both, then. So I'm talking down to you and quote unquote like that at you.
Yes.
Also,
it's a whole conundrum.
I guess. Yeah. Well, why can't I do either? Why can't I talk? First of all, I don't think I'm talking down to you or talking like that to you. Why can't I do either of those?
That's the dumbest thing anyone's ever said.
Well, I look. I'm trying to just.
I'm sorry. I'm livid.
Well, you can't talk. Maybe you can't talk to me that way. But look, before we get carried, why can't I talk to you that way?
I'll tell you why. Because I've been donating mother money.
Yeah, I just had to bleep you again. You can't. It's a. You're. This is a radio show.
I know, but I get so in the flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because you've been donating money. Yeah, I know.
All over town.
Yeah, of course.
That was only a handful of the charities.
Uh-huh.
That
oh, okay. So, yeah, you certainly, I knew there was some self-serving reason to why you kept saying over and over, I donated money here, I donated money there. This
I did.
Makes perfect, yeah, okay, and you just did it again. This makes perfect sense, Mark, because figuring, reading between the lines here, your trial starts the end of the week. I think it's on Friday.
Oh, yeah, I think it does start at the end of the week.
Uh-huh. Oh, you do? You're not
Rings
sure?
Rings the bell now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you might want to lock that in on your iCal, Mark. But you're just trying to do damage control here. You're trying to just do like some sort of like image rehab, as they call it, by you're coming on a public show and you're talking all about how much you gave here and how much you gave there, so that you could soften up your image.
I'll tell you one thing: wait till Judge Milhaven sees how short my hair is and how nice my new suit is. You're gonna flip.
Uh huh. And what do you think is gonna happen when he sees that?
I think when he looks at me and I come in the courtroom, he's just going to hit the gavel and he's going to let me go.
Okay, well, so why exactly would he let you go?
Well, he'd use deductive reasoning. He'd say, there's no way a nice-looking young man like that would commit these crimes. You know, he's from Kentucky.
Is he?
He is, yes.
Judge Milhaven, I didn't know where he was from. I've never been in court in front of him, so I guess you would maybe know more about that than I might.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've heard things, and I'll tell you, I think if he likes me enough, he's even going to buy me dinner.
Uh-huh. So the judge is going to see, because you're wearing a nice suit with short hair,
mm-hmm.
and your hair is usually not short.
No. Very long ponytail.
Uh-huh.
But I look really normal now. It's great.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, everyone knows that nice-looking people don't commit crimes. I mean, it's a proven fact that only disheveled, unattractive people commit these heinous acts. and that the preppy killer, Ted Bundy, David Berkowitz, they were anomalies.
Uh-huh.
I've done my research. Now you do yours.
Uh-huh. Wait, so David Berkowitz, the son of Sam.
Yeah.
That he was, I got to maybe take umbrage with the idea you're saying he was super stylish and cool looking and attractive.
Oh, I thought he was cool looking. Yeah, you don't?
Not really. I mean, he always had that kind of like it was like a windbreaker on, it seemed. Like a, almost like a satin jacket.
Well, I mean, that's pretty cool.
Well, that's the...
See, you're doing that thing where you kind of float yourself as being above everybody else. I don't like it.
Well, I'm not putting myself above everybody else. I would like to think maybe I'd be above David Berkowitz or the shover.
Well, something to shoot for.
Uh-huh.
Oh, speaking of, you know, I got to wrap this up.
Uh-huh. Oh, would you have to be somewhere?
Well, not exactly. You know, I'm down at the Newbridge Wharf.
Yeah.
And just kind of hanging out. And let's just say that someone's feeling the love to shove.
Oh, great. Yeah, so you are the Newbridge shover.
No!
You're not. You're not the Newbridge shover.
No, my alter ego Quest Shove is.
Well, what's your alter ego Quest Shove?
Quest Shove, yes.
Quest Shove, okay.
Yeah. I have several different personalities, and one of them is a ubiquitous drummer who likes to shove people into things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you said you have a bunch of different personalities, Mark?
I have a few, yeah.
Like any other you'd care to tell us about?
Yeah, Mike N., the mechanic.
Wait, Mike N.?
Yeah, Mike, and the initial for his last name is N, and he's the mechanic.
Okay.
Yeah, he goes into people's cars at night, and he breaks their engines, and then he fixes them.
Okay.
All before the person's awoken.
Sure. Okay. Any other personalities?
Yeah, Getty Image.
What's that?
Getty Image, he's a cross between the tycoon, J. Paul Getty, and Third Misfits drummer, Joey Image. Why?
Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh.
That is, everybody wants to be photographed next to him.
Wants to be photographed next to Getty Image.
Yes.
Sure.
Uh-huh. A rite of passage.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. And also, there's Ken Burns.
What's that?
Ken Burns is another personality of mine.
Ken Burns.
Yes, yeah. He's a bearded, power pop looking guy who starts sick blazes.
Okay. Yep. So, yeah. Ken Burns. Like he burns one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He does. He sparks it up. Oh, wait, hang on. Excuse me, sir? Yes, you by the wharf railing. Can I talk to you about sub-reverse mortgages? Yeah, here you go.
Are they? Wait, did you just shove someone? Hello? Hello, Mark? Hello? Oh, okay, he hung up. Boy, that's, This is one for the ages, huh, Mike? Good old Dudio, huh? He's really worked up about who did that impression of him. He wants to know so badly. It was funny. It was not super mean. It was playful. It celebrated the joy of Dudio. It was not John Hamm, no. Should we do another Tom Prescience show? Do you think people are ready for another one? And what was that other one that people really enjoyed? Where I couldn't complain. Yeah. Oof. I don't want to do that one. That one was actually hard. I was actually, people were actually enjoying the actual agony I was actually in, not being able to complain. This is what I don't understand. You got this movie, Baby Driver, right? And I don't think the Kiss song Baby Driver is in it. How can you do a movie, a Baby Driver, you don't put the Kiss song, you put the Paul Simon song? So, yeah. One thing I do want to say on a serious note is I found out last night that John Sarno died. The doctor, Dr. John Sarno, died. I think he was 93 years old. He passed away. And I can say on a personal note, that guy's books helped me with back stuff, back pain, like, yeah, sorted out some very serious physical pain I had, and it's done the same for a bunch of people in my life. And if you're, you know, it's worth checking out. It's really worth checking out. I'm not saying it's the answer to anything. People figure out their own answers and get their own things. You got to get actual doctors to actually check you out for things. Can't just trust a book without getting looked at by a doctor. So take stuff seriously, but also don't be afraid to look into it, because I'll swear by it. Plenty of people will swear by it. And there's a good documentary that deals with it that's actually out in New York right now called All the Rage, which is worth checking out. He's an interesting guy. And stuff helped me a lot. This is not, I'm not Gary Null here giving people health advice. But, yeah. He helped me. I will forever be grateful for that. And rest in peace, Dr. John Sarno. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Best show.
Hey, to whom am I speaking?
This is Kelson in Eureka, California.
Kelson? What's going on tonight, Kelson?
Hey, well, on the sad news about Dr. Sarno, as a result of your recommendation, I did pick up one of his books because I have chronic neck pain issues, and so I'm starting that journey. So thank you for recommending.
Check it out. See if it works. Read it. See if it makes sense. Maybe it does.
Exactly. I have two for the topic.
The topic being, I can't defend it. What do you got? What do you got?
So two people that I'm very a huge fan of, David Bowie, his album Buddha of Suburbia is one that I can't get behind.
Really? That's the one you can't get behind?
That's one of the ones. That's from the patch. But I felt like that was that's one that just I never could groove on.
I feel like at least that has things in it where he's trying to find his way out of the hole with that.
I think I think that's accurate. I think he was climbing up.
That's why
then,
I said it. Why do you think I would say it? Because I'd say you're going to say something deliberately stupid.
I think it's because it's in that crossroads in his career where it just felt like watered down, you know?
Yeah,
like it was just sort
exactly.
of, it's the sin of being boring, I guess.
He had the greatest albums ever. And then he did this thing, Let's Dance, which is, I don't know. Not for me, man. Then he followed that with this album Tonight, which is abysmal. Then
this
he,
is true.
Then he followed it with a thing called Never Let Me Down, which is the true low point. And it's right there with the album Tonight, right? Is that what I said, Tonight? That was after, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And then he did that godforsaken Muppet movie where he's dancing around with a porcupine on his head or who knows what. And I'll say this. I've said it before. These Muppet people, you watch out. They talk a little bit too much about the Muppets. You just tread lightly. Tread lightly. That's all I'm saying. There's some of these people who love the Muppets. These are the sweetest people you ever meet in your life. And I consider it a blessing that they're in my life, some of these Muppet people. Other ones, not so much. They run a little hot. Sometimes I think half of them want to be Muppets. And it's a little up. So they would press, if they could press a button and become a Muppet, they would do it. And anything that involves those big Muppets, that's when the flag's got to go up. That's a thing that it's gonna be terrible when what's his face, Jim Hansen always did those big Muppets, the 7-foot Muppets. Whenever it was one of them, I was just like, this is gonna be bad. Jim Hansen's doing another one of the big Muppets again. First of all, who knows what's going on inside of that thing? I don't know. I picture some weird puppeteer getting his jollies in there in the raw.
Oh.
I don't want it.
Oh, no.
Right? Right?
Yeah. Seems humid in there.
And nobody wants something lumbering around like that. You want a Muppet you don't want some Muppet that can actually crush you. You want a Muppet that you ain't that scared of. Even a scary little Muppet, right? You still knock him around, right? You know,
oh, yeah.
You could still break the hand of whoever's got their hand in a scary Muppet. A scary little Muppet, you can still break their hand. Those big ones can fall on you. You're doomed.
Yeah, the big ones are 1 degree away from a horror movie.
Yeah, it's like a bookshelf falling on you. It's like the difference between somebody dropping a book on you versus dropping a bookshelf on you. Well, look, I appreciate the call, Junior. You have a grand evening.
Thanks.
Best show.
You want a Muppet that can actually crush you. You want a Muppet that you ain't that scared.
Yeah, great. Great job screening calls, Mike. Tell them to turn the radio down. That's all right. No, don't worry. We'll get him on the next one. Best show.
Hi, this is Dan from Oakland.
Now, see, Mike, this guy's got his thing down. Good work on this one.
Thank you.
I'll tell you this. You know what Mike said to me, Dan?
What?
He was reminiscing about the old days. He said, oh, you used to do this on the best show. We used to do that on the best show. You know what I started to realize? He's reminiscing on the pre-Dudio, pre-Pat days. That's what he was reminiscing about. He's just like, he was talking about how it used to be just me and him. So, what's up, Dan, in Oakland?
I'm a little nervous, first time caller. But,
relax, Dan, relax.
All right, thank you. First of all, I wanted to thank you for putting up the interview with Dave Weigel. On Patreon recently. That was really great.
You're quite welcome. It was my pleasure. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And second of all, on that note, on your recommendation, I actually went to see King Crimson recently live in Oakland for my birthday, which was pretty incredible.
How was it?
It was good. I mean, the three drummers were nuts. I don't know. I don't go to a lot of shows like that, but yeah, it was
You know why you
incredible.
Don't go to a lot of shows like that? There ain't no other shows like that with three drummers up front. There's no other show like that. Let me ask you this, and I don't want you to ruin too much of it for me, because they're playing Red Bank, New Jersey, home of Kevin Smith. I'm hoping that these King Crimson vibes can drive the rats out of Ireland. What was the thing that he did with the pipes? Who did that again? Who? St. Patrick, when he drove the rats out of Ireland by playing his pan flute. I'm hoping King Crimson roll through Red Bank and they drive all the ghosts of Kevin Smith out. I'm hoping they can do it. But when you saw King Crimson, did they do And don't even tell. I don't want you to tell me. I want you to just give me a sly signal that it's yes. Did they do that song Starless? You know that song was like, bing bong bong bing bong bong bing bong 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 bong. Did they do that?
I don't know quite how to answer that, but you won't be disappointed.
Nah, you answered. That's exactly what I was looking for. You won't be disappointed.
You know, actually, they played my favorite song, The Sailor's Tale, which was one that I was not sure they were going to do. I was really excited about that one.
Did they do...
Pictures of a City?
Yep. Oh, I gotta get to that show. They're coming. I hope they drive all the Kevin Smith rats out of Red Bank. Drive them out. Drive them into whatever town. Right into the ocean, right? Right into the ocean. So what can I do for you, Chief?
Well, that was most of it, but I do have one for the topic based on King Crimson, which is I really don't think I can defend the song Ladies of the Road. Yeah, I really like it, but I don't think I can defend it.
No, they got some sleazy lyrics I'm not comfortable with.
Yeah, totally.
At the time, it made sense. Maybe. Not if I was in it in the 70s. I wouldn't have written that. They changed some of the lyrics, too, which is they update them. They change them.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you mentioned that in the interview. I haven't heard the new lyric version. Oh, sorry. Is that a spoiler, too?
Like, no, it's fine. But... like the song Easy Money. Did they do Easy Money? They had to have done Easy Money. There's no way they don't do Easy Money.
What would they have changed in that had they done it?
There's something about a chicky poo being...
Okay.
Of questionable age that only some sleaze would write back then. John Wetton. Rest in peace.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about the lineups over the years. I'm really a big fan of maybe the first like five records, but I was curious for your take on Tony Levin. Are you a Tony Levin fan?
I'll say this about Tony Levin. There was a time I was in Los Angeles. Me and my friend John, and we were at a hotel, and we're sitting poolside, working. This is not a vacation. We're not on vacation together. We're sitting poolside working, and then John says to me, look into the fitness room. And who do we see in that fitness room? Tony Levin, pumping iron, right?
Wow. Right?
We see him working out. Then Tony Levin... leaves the fitness area, takes his shirt off, jumps in the pool. No shower between it. And look, allegedly this was Tony Levin. It was Tony Levin. Jumped right in the pool. It's like, Tony, now I can't go in that pool. I got to get your Chapman stick sweat all over me. Right? Same sweat this guy's putting down working that Chapman sticks now floating on top of the water. I like Tony Levin. What's the best Tony Levin bass line? You know it. I know it. Right? Sleepless, baby.
Say that again?
Sleepless.
Oh.
All right. So what can I do for you? Anything else? Thanks for the call. Guy. So, phone number 201-332-3484. What a show. What a show. And the topic remaining on the table, I can't defend it. And you know, it's a little unfair to do a thing I can't defend it on some level because it means you're operating from the position of making people defend things, especially if you're talking to the makers of things. Because, like, making things is its own its own process to make something. Because what you're doing is you're sticking your head out of the foxhole. You do that, you get your head blown off. You're taking a risk when you make something. Look, it's very easy, and I say this as somebody who shifts from side to side on this. I am always talking about things and judging things and rating things. But then I also, I'm on the other side. I'm trying to write stuff too, and I'm trying to make stuff. I get it. Everybody's got an opinion. I got opinions. That's why anybody says, Tom, you suck. You know what I say to that? Okay. It's fine. Fair enough. Some people like me. Some people don't like me. I truly don't care. There's 6 people who I care about whether they like me or not. That's my barometer in life. Everybody else, I'm doing what I'm doing. If you like it, I'm happy you like it. If you don't, go find the thing you like. That's why I get these people that get here with the Tom Waits. Oh boy, you hate it. It's like, I don't care. If you like Tom Waits, I like Tom Waits, and you can't stand him. Like they're looking for me to go off about how much you can't stand. It's like, if you like Tom Waits, good. I wish I liked him. I wish I liked everything. I wish I liked it all. I mean, there's all my favorite things around. I mean, I'd have an endless amount of things to like. I wish I liked it all, but I've been cursed with taste, outstanding taste. It's a curse. I can't fake my way through this Grateful Dead dreck. Do you get these guys like, I'm not going to name names, but one of them is screening calls 12 feet from me. They like the Grateful Dead. I wish I liked the Grateful Dead. Wish I liked it. You think I wish there was a band that had 8,000 hours of music for me to like? I get it. So yeah, I know what it's like. You're on both sides of the street. I'm on both sides of the street. I make stuff. You stick your neck out, and that's the beauty of making stuff is you're making it, and you don't know if the thing you're making's good or bad sometimes. It's like if it's good, everybody will know what you did. But if it's bad, everybody's going to also know what you did. And you can only just like try. It's a very strange process. Very strange because it's also voluntary. Nobody's begging me to write stuff or to do that. I'm doing it because I want to do it. That's how most people are making stuff. Most people aren't making stuff because just for the money. That's not what most people got into things for. If you want to make money, there's so many easier ways to make money than some kind of career in making things. Oh my God, that's probably the worst choice you could make if you're just like, I'm looking for money. So what I'm going to do is start writing. No one, that's the dumbest play you could make. So you're doing it because you want to do it. And look, there's this, you know what's a good example? Do you see this Mike Myers, Mike? He's got this new show now. Gong Show is what it's called. And it's a reboot of an old show called The Gong Show. Now, this Mike Myers is going on this thing dressed as some character, Tommy McGoovie or whatever his name is. And he's doing a character, and he's doing a voice, and he's got the makeup on, he's got the thing. He never admits it's Mike Myers. Look, I give a guy credit. He's going for it. He's going up there wearing some dumb thing. It makes you look stupid. It's hard. It's a risk. You go up there. Because look at this. Everybody makes fun of Borat, right? That's everybody's favorite movie. It was everybody's favorite movie for when it came out. Now everybody thinks that the funniest thing is to make fun of my wife, and you know, look, they'll think it's a funny, like, as if he's worse than anybody because he did a character, because he's vulnerable. People do characters, man. You're vulnerable. Making stuff ain't the easiest thing in the world. You got to want to do it. You do it because you want to do it. I didn't want to do it for a few months there. I didn't want to do it anymore. So I didn't. That's the beauty of this show, too. I was able to still do this and kind of find my way out of the woods while doing this and kind of using the show to help me find my way out of the woods. That's why I love the best show. I'm eternally grateful for this thing that is in my life. Eternally grateful that I have this show and this forum. And you know what? I'm eternally grateful to Jason and Mike and Pat and Marcia and Martine and Amy and all the people that work on this show and make it come together. Grateful. This is the greatest gift I could ever have, to have this place to come every week. For me to do this for John and I to goof around. But yeah, you do it, and then you don't have to. But that said, I'm doing this because I want to do it, and I love doing it. But that's why it's hard with that whole idea of judging stuff too hard. And not, look, I'm as guilty of that as literally anybody, if not more. And then look, I got this Andy Kindler on. He's this comedian who, he's tweeting at me. Have you listened to American Beauty? Studio Grateful Dead. He had to at Grateful Dead as if, you worried they're not going to retweet you? This guy's trying to get a like from the Grateful Dead, their account. With in-tune harmonies and everything. Yeah, I could get that anywhere else. I get to I'll go buy a Seals and Crofts album. I want that. So it sounds like. Here's an album where the Grateful Dead sound like Seals and Crofts. Okay. So what, I got to hear these failed bikers pretend to be someone else for an album? Best show.
Hello, is this Mike?
No, this is Tom, actually.
Oh, hi, Tom. I had a question for you.
To whom am I speaking? Let me ask you that first, my friend.
This is Aiden in Philadelphia.
Aiden in Philadelphia. Aiden, are you a young person, Aiden?
I am fairly young, I'd say. I'm 13.
Okay, you're fairly young. I would say 18 is usually the line on what I'm talking about here.
All right, that's fair.
So you're 13.
That makes sense.
So what's going on, Aiden?
I'm just sitting around listening to the show. I actually recently checked my Instagram feed, and I've seen a lot of stuff about, like, Steve Harvey on your Instagram.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I have not been on Instagram in about 5 days, and I'm trying to log back into my Instagram.
Yeah.
And these Steve Harvey pictures keep popping up on it.
There's a couple gems on there, I think.
I don't know. Do I have the settings wrong on it or something?
I don't know. Do you think somebody else is on it?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I know last week Pat asked me for my Instagram password, and then the next Pat, who works on the show, he asked me, but I don't think the two would be connected, do you?
I don't know. What does Pat's face look like right now? Can you see him?
I can't.
Huh. Okay. Well, could you ask, like, maybe Mike or something? Ask what he looks like. That might tell.
Aiden, I try to talk to Mike as little as possible. No offense. Look, I love the guy. I love the guy like a brother. But you know what?
Yeah.
Try to talk to him as little as possible. Little contact as possible.
I understand.
Love the guy like a brother. I'd do anything for this guy. But.
Yeah.
Except talk to him.
I mean, what was... I can hear him laughing.
I'd take a bullet for this guy, but I'd rather not have a 5-minute conversation. We'd be like, wait, where's that bullet again? Wait. So what's going on this summer, Aiden? What are you doing for fun?
Well, right now I'm up in Philadelphia visiting with my dad, and that's fun. That's a lot of fun.
You're going to go what are you going to do in Philly? You're going to go to Reading Street Terminal?
I've been there a couple times, yeah.
Did you get ice cream?
Ice cream?
Yeah, it's a thing we have.
Yeah, I've had some ice cream, yeah. Mm-hmm. I had good ice cream.
Yeah. What else are you going to do in Philly? Check out the Rocky statue?
I've been there once or twice, I believe. We're going to go camping in the Poconos.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I watched this movie the other day. I watched this movie Creed. Right? I watched Creed. It again. Creed.
Is that the Rocky one?
It is. It's the other one. It's like the one about the and like Rocky, the guy who played Rocky, Sylvester Stallone, lost the Oscar.
Yeah, was he mad about that?
I'll say this. I watched Creed again, and then a couple months ago I saw the movie of the guy who beat out Sylvester Stallone for the Oscar.
Yeah.
Mark Rylance. This movie, Bridge of Spies.
Oh, haven't heard of that.
This guy did. It was such a subpar performance. This guy's doing if he's going to win for that, then the cast of Death Wish 3 should have won some Oscars.
I haven't.
The guy who said to Bronson in Death Wish 3, "I got a zip gun." He should have won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor.
Is that the one who killed the giggler?
No, Bronson killed the giggler, Aiden. Come on. Tighten it up.
I'm sorry, I haven't seen the movie yet.
Tighten it up, Aiden. Bronson won.
I'm not.
He killed the giggler.
Man, I'm all embarrassed.
You need to ask an adult for whether you can watch Death Wish 3. It's restricted. It's got a restricted rating on it, Aiden.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So
what do you got, Chief?
I'd also like to ask you one more question before.
By all means.
Do you collect anything?
Do I collect anything?
I don't know why that's a question I have for you, but it's something I'd like to know.
Let's see. Some of the things I collect. Grudges. I collect grudges. slights. Well, I guess that falls under the grudges category. feuds, fights, records. I collect records. I collect records. What else do I collect? Mike, what else do I collect? He doesn't know.
Do you collect debt from Mike for Coors Lights?
No. Coors Light, thankfully, is one of the more affordable beers. I could throw a case at this guy, and then that's it. And he just takes... Wait, who said... Bridge of Spies is a masterpiece. Oh, can you imagine? Oh, my God. I think at one point you watch this movie, halfway through you see Tom Hanks is on orbits booking a hotel room for his character. What a masterpiece. This Creed movie, I bawled my eyes out watching this thing. Bawled my eyes out.
I wouldn't take that for being a tearjerker.
Oh, trust me, it is. If you got a heart, it is, Aiden. So look, you're going to have a grand summer.
All right. I have one little thing about Mike, if you don't mind.
By all means, yes.
Mike missigned a headshot addressed to me.
Okay.
Right.
He's going to come stomping in here.
I believe my father purchased one for me, and he addressed the headshot to my father instead of to me.
Okay. Well, we can rectify this. We can rectify. In all seriousness, quality is job number one when it comes to apmike.bandcamp.com. So,
all right.
shoot him a tweet or shoot me an email. We'll get to the bottom of it.
All right.
We'll make you happy.
You have a good summer, Tom.
You have a great summer, Aiden. Bye.
All right.
Best show.
Hello, Tom. This is Rob in Los Angeles. From Los Angeles, but I do live here now.
Oh, you're from Los Angeles. I know who this is. Rob Hatch Miller. L.A. Rob, as we call him now.
I suppose.
He's the guy. He used to live here. He is a director. He is a producer, and he does everything. He wears many hats, and he wears these hats with his producing partner Paloma Basu, who
it's true. She's looking out the window of our house at me right now.
L.A. Paloma, right?
L.A. Paloma.
L.A.P., what would be like a D? What could stand for D with her? Right? No, duh. It should be like L.A. Paloma, duh. Because it's like, of course she's from L.A. Her name's
obviously.
Her nickname's L.A.P.D.
I know she's going to hate it when she hears that 7 seconds from now.
Yes!
Or whatever the delay is.
Too bad! That's how it goes. It's the best show.
Tom,
Shock
I have
radio.
Something. I have something for the topic.
You have something for the topic, which is I can't defend it. What do
I
you have?
I can't defend it.
What do you have, Rob Hatch Miller?
Well, a few years ago, I made a film about a guy named Phil Johnson.
Yes.
And back in February of this year, Phil Johnson released a new single on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say I would recommend checking it out, but the song is called Don't Dump the Trump.
Okay. Don't Dump the Trump.
Don't Dump the Trump. The latest single by Phil Johnson. I'm glad I didn't have to deal with that for the story of the film.
Well, that's in my movie. Anyway, the Wind Blows Too. Which is well, who's that?
That's a neighbor's dog.
Well, that sounds like a very healthy dog.
It is. There's a lot of dogs around here. There's helicopters. Very different.
Anyway, the Wind Blows Too. We pick it up February of 2017.
Port of call.
Port of call, Los Angeles. Paloma, duh. I haven't heard this record. That feels to me like someone saw that the inauguration had a dearth of entertainers at it and was kind of just like, yeah, I think I might be able to get a piece of this action here by making himself clearly available to do Don't Dump the Trump.
I looked it up tonight thinking that maybe he had thought better of it and maybe deleted it from his YouTube channel, but still there for anybody who wants to find it.
And look, I'll say this. I'm not happy with the movie Anyway the Wind Blows for one reason and one reason only. My scene where he called this show did not make the final cut of the movie. I seem to be getting cut out of movies left and right. I was cut out of Ant-Man.
Unlike Ant-Man, there were no cameras rolling when Phil Johnson called you in the studio.
You couldn't have you could have done some animation to it.
I guess we could have.
Yeah.
It just would have needed so much context, Tom. You know, we have to explain what the show is that he's calling into.
So you block off 15 minutes in the Phil Johnson movie, and explain this radio show that he didn't know what it was that he's calling. So yeah, I think it would have been a good use of screen time.
I mean, maybe if the film is ever released, maybe we can do an animated DVD extra.
I would love it. An animated, yeah. You know what? I'm going to pull the plug on this one right now. That stays on the cutting room floor. Not that it even made it to the cutting room.
I think a lot of audio interviews got imported into the Final Cut project for the film, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure we didn't do that one.
Sure.
We were pretty sure that we wouldn't have a use for that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't remember signing any sort of release anyway, so.
Well, I mean, who asked for release forms, Tom, really, in the documentary world?
Hmm. Which is a great segue to this next subject. That was the
pellet. Yes.
This Syl Johnson movie was a complete triumph. It's a great movie. But that's in the past. What is the future for a Rob Hatch Miller and a Paloma Basu?
Well, today we premiered the trailer for our new film, which we started shooting last year, which is about the record store Other Music in New York City, where I worked for several years. Shortly after moving to New York, and it was a super important place in both of our lives. We shot a music video there with you at one point.
Yes.
And we just have so many memories tied to that place. In fact, it was the first place I ever heard a Sharpling and Worcester CD when I was 20 years old.
Wow.
One day, the owner, Josh Madel, put it on, and I'm pretty sure I think it was Hippie Justice.
That's
maybe.
Awesome. So that's where that went down. That was like Other Music's equivalent of like putting the Beta Band on in. It's like
in High Fidelity.
In High Fidelity. It's like, watch what happens when we put this on. People will look around. Then they're going to be confused. Then they're going to leave the store. Except a different result. So
I don't remember anybody leaving, but I think it was early in the day.
So this movie, you guys have said, we're telling the story of Other Music, one of the greatest record stores in all of history, and a Kickstarter went up today to raise funds for this story to be told.
That's right, and we worked super hard on the trailer, which we're so excited for people to see. It has lots of amazing people in it. There's even a quick glimpse of Julie Klausner in an Aziz Ansari sketch that Jason Wallener directed back in, I think it was 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jason Schwartzman's in the trailer. Benicio Del Toro, who was a frequent Other Music customer, is in the trailer. And Ezra from Vampire Weekend, friend of the show.
Mm-hmm. And it's people go to Kickstarter and they search Other Music. Is that the quickest way the cleanest way to find it?
I think so. You could probably also just search Other Music Kickstarter on your Twitter, Google. It should be pretty easy to find.
Mm-hmm. What's that, Mike? Mike tweeted, oh, God. I guess the quickest way is to go to AP Mike's Twitter.
It's not on apmike.bandcamp.com, is it?
Oh. Can't win with this. It's apmike.bandcamp.com. They got Andy Kindler moaning about the Shakedown Street here. An 8-track cassette of Shakedown Street wants me to listen to. You're moaning about your movie. No, in all seriousness, this Kickstarter is up. It looks great. The trailer's fantastic. And you're going to tell a story that was and is a very important story to the New York music scene and the music scene everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, there's only a handful of truly legendary record stores. You know, you got your Rough Trade in London and, these places that really, they didn't just sell records. They they connected people and helped shape the music scene in their city at the time. And other music really in the early 2000s was a place where bands literally met each other and, you know, started from making friendships in that store. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are really nostalgic for that time in New York. And, you know, I think other music was a super important linchpin in that music scene. So we'll be telling that part of the story and much more, and the story of the guys that started the shop and just affected so many people's lives.
Yeah.
We hope it's going to be a great movie.
I have a good feeling it will. I'm wondering if you feel a little nervous about my documentary about the Sam Goody at the Woodbridge Mall in New Jersey. If you're at all worried about my tribute to another late great record store, where
I mean, there's room in the world for a Sam Goody documentary, Tom.
Well, no, it's just about the one at Woodbridge Mall, and there's an exciting
scene. The scope of that might be a little too small.
Yeah, there's an exciting scene when I got a gift certificate for $20. And then went in and didn't know what to buy there, so I bought a vinyl copy of the Replacements' Don't Tell a Soul album and still had to throw in money on it because that's how overpriced Sam Goody was. I still had to put like a dollar in to get an LP when that album came out. And then I went home, listened to it once, I was just like, yeah, these guys aren't so good. And then 25 years later, Tommy Stinson left me sitting here waiting for him to show up.
Oh, man.
That's the movie.
But Jake Fogelmest had a great call on that show, so that made up for it.
It balances it all. Jake balances, he's the eternal equalizer, yes. So Rob Patch Miller, people can check this. People, first of all, you're on Twitter at Rob Patch Miller.
Correct.
If they need to reach you directly for this. And
We'd love to get a little Best Show bump tonight. We had a really good first day of the Kickstarter campaign. And,
So, Pete, and it really is. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. You guys, your last movie was great, and this is going to continue the streak. The other music story, the story of an iconic independent record story. Go to Kickstarter. You can find all about it there and watch a trailer. And you enjoy Lipstick City.
Thanks, Tom. All right. I'll try. I miss you.
I miss you too, Rob. I miss Paloma too. All right, you have a great
day. Say hi to Mamacita for me.
You just did. He hears it.
Oh.
Okay. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Bye.
Bye. Best Show. Yeah. That was nice. It's going to be a good movie. Yeah. Go ahead. Best Show. Hi. Hey. Hey, stupid. Hey, if you're on hold, I'm talking to you. Oh, jump in a lake. Yeah, he's like 10 minutes behind also. I think I heard Greg Turkington on the thing. Could be on hold for 2 hours waiting for that guy to finally hear me call his name. Best Show.
Hey, this is Ellen from Los Angeles.
Ellen from Los Angeles. This isn't Ellen. This isn't Ellen DeGeneres, is it?
No, it's not.
Oh.
No, sorry.
You know what? This is better than if Ellen DeGeneres called.
Yeah, maybe.
What's going on?
I don't think Ellen DeGeneres is a barbershop fan, so.
Oh, I know this, Ellen. Yeah, we talked about barbershop the last time you called, right?
Yeah. I have an update. I'm definitely going to Vegas the weekend of the CUSA International.
And you're going to see OC Times?
Well, I'm not going to see them. I'm just staying at the hotel across from where the event's going on, and I'm going to try to just stalk and see if I can see them like milling about in the casino and take a picture of them.
You have to see if OC Times will serenade you like they seem to do to literally anyone. Remember when they serenaded that server in the restaurant and she had to stand there just like and we're talking about the documentary. I just want to say we're talking about the documentary American Harmony, one of the greatest movies ever made. about barbershop, competitive barbershop quartets. And
I love it. Oh, sorry.
No, there's this group, OC Times, who are a kind of like the heartthrobs of the movie. And they just sing anytime, any place, and they just think they're so cute. And they're in a diner or a restaurant, and this poor woman who's serving them, they start just singing, and she just has to stand there waiting for them to stop singing this song so she can go back to waiting on the other tables.
I love that scene in the background. There's a table of like two men, and they literally just do not look at all. They just are staring straight forward with no look on their face. Just they do not want to acknowledge what is happening whatsoever. It's really bad.
You know, if you ever want to lose your lunch, Ellen, toss your cookies, puke, bark, barf, hork, whatever you call it. Watch that movie and just watch the mouths up close. Just stare at the mouths of these guys singing Barbershop and you'll be like, blah.
Or Patrick Claypool's eyeliner. I know. I'm really hoping. I have high expectations that I'm going to meet one of them. I know that they're definitely going to be there. I kind of looked at their roster and... So I'm really hoping that Friday night I'll be able to run.
Why are you acting? You're like, I have high hopes I'm going to meet one. It's like no one knows who they are.
I know.
All you're going to do is look for four guys wearing the same suit, and you found them. The same oversized suit.
I don't know what it is. It's fascinating. I just can't get enough of it. But, I mean, I love the movie so much because it perfectly edits the songs. I mean, if you ever go to YouTube and be like, oh, I want to actually listen to a whole set, you literally can't. It's just physically impossible. I mean, the movie perfectly edits the songs. That is just the right amount to, you know, make it through.
Well, wait till you hear my barbershop quartet, which I'm putting together. I have a good feeling about this. We just were called Barbershop Underground, and we just do Velvet Underground songs in barbershop quartet fashion, which I think, just picture that, though. Ba, 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 right? Ba, 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 when I wake up in the morning, mama, I heard her call my name, heard her call my name, right? Right, just picture, and then my mind split open, right? Heroin, bop, 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 bo. It's my life, and it's my wife. And when I put the needle in my vein, and then I'm both, right. How great would that be as a barbershop, right? Mike?
That would be really great.
Would you see us in concert, Mike? Bop, bop, right? We're just doing barbershop quartet, Velvet Underground songs. I think that'd be great. What's another good one we could do, Mike? Train going round the bend. No. Lonesome Cowboy Bill. Bo, 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 bo. Rides a rodeo. Oh. Lonesome Cowboy Bill. Bo, 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 bo. Can't you see him? Yodelay-ho. Oh. And one of them, the guy who does the high, will be like, Yodelay-ho. I'm telling you. Let's get some Velvet Underground. Get me some guys who can arrange this. Go get me, what's his face? Who's the expert again? Who's the legend?
Joe Connolly.
Yeah. Go get me Awesome Joe Connolly. Was that his name?
Yes, Awesome Joe Connolly.
Someone get me Awesome Joe Connolly and have him, the barbershop quartet legend. I want to do Barbershop Underground, which are Velvet Underground covers. A barbershop quartet, Velvet Underground band. Lonesome Cowboy Bill, bo, 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 bo. Rides a rodeo, bo, 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 bo. Yodelay-ho. Telling you, got to figure that out, right?
Lady Godiva, right? With like, then the first incision. I'm telling you. Maybe we'll just do White Light, White Heat, that album. Right? Right? Sick it on me, Jim. Sick it. Okay, never mind. All right, Alan. You please, I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to ask you, please call and tell me what happens.
Oh, I will. On this Las I definitely Vegas will.
Show. You're one of the few people who say, I'm going to Las Vegas. Guess what I'm going to do? Stalk a barbershop quartet. And everybody else has to just go, yeah, I guess, okay. I'm going to do some weird illegal stuff. But, all right, I guess that's what you're doing. We're all demented here.
I know.
All right.
Okay, well, have a good night, Tom.
You too. Thank you, Ellen. Bye.
Okay.
Best show.
Hey, Tom, it's Courtney from Carolina. I have one for the topic.
Courtney from Carolina. First of all, I'm going to say this, Courtney. You're right on point. You're moving it along. I tip my hat to you.
Thank you. I tip my hat to you every day.
Oh, well, that's... you see,
I have a Twitter account. It's private. No one follows it. Where I screenshot accounts, I don't like being hypocritical side by side, and I want to eventually make it public.
Okay.
But I feel like that's pathetic and, like, two wrongs don't make a right, and why would I waste my time?
That's probably, you probably have the right read on it. Look, Twitter's a losing game. You go there, if you go to Twitter, it's really about how badly you're going to lose. No one wins there. No one wins.
It really is.
No one wins. It's a garbage dump. No one wins. It's about how badly do you lose. Do you end up fighting with someone you don't know? Does someone call you some names? How bad are you going to lose here? So,
yeah,
maybe don't add to it. You can have fun with it as a private thing, but you can, yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye. Love it. Best show. Hey!
No one wins. It's a garbage dump.
Hey! Hey, you! Hey!
Hello?
Hi! It's time! Welcome!
From the Golden Circle.
What?
That's from the Golden Circle.
The Golden Circle. Oh, hey, you're from the Golden Circle. That's right. Welcome, young man. Turn your radio down. Hey, Junior. Oh, now I hear me yelling at him. Hey.
Hello?
Hello? Turn your radio, computer speaker down.
It's Gus.
Okay, yeah, I can hear the show playing in the background. Did you turn your speaker down? You're out, kid. Sorry. I'll tell you. That's life! Oh, I don't like that creepy laugh. To whom am I speaking?
How's it going, Tom?
Oh, even worse. Worse than I thought. Of course, it's 11:53. Who else would it be? Other than Dracula. Dracula comes out less at night than you do. Fred from Honolulu. What up, Fred?
How's it, brother? How you been?
It's going all right.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love when I look at Twitter when they hear your voice. Oh no. I see oh no and I see ha ha ha. So what's up? I want to say this. For people who don't know the show, this is a guy on the line right now. I love this guy. I love this guy with all not all my heart, but I'm not in love with all my heart. I love my wife with all my heart, and my mommy and my sister and my dog with all my heart. I love you. I give you all. Isn't enough I say I love you? That's not enough? You're supposed to be equal to my mother now, Fred?
Is this Love and Hip Hop? What's going on right now?
So then this guy, he's been calling for years, and his name is Fred from Honolulu. He would call from Honolulu, and then he moved to the United States of America from Hawaii. Uh-huh. He moved from Hawaii to the USA.
That's right.
I'm trying to wind you up on that. I'm trying to get you to yell at me that Hawaii is a part of the United States.
Yeah, man. It was a pretty good exchange rate.
He moved to the mainland. Exactly. He wanted to take advantage of the exchange rate. So,
yeah,
so he came to the mainland, as we call it.
Mm-hmm.
He moved right to the dumbest neighborhood you could humanly move to, which is right where the San Gennaro Festival takes place in downtown Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
So that outside of his window, he has a flashing lights outside his window every night. And then somebody throws up Zeppelis on his front step into his mailbox. There's Zeppeli barf in there. Then he moves. He realizes the error of his ways, and he moves to Brooklyn. Like,
mm-hmm.
Did you move to Brooklyn, or were you pulled toward it just like the magnetic pull of where every human seems to get pulled?
It was a speculative buying. That's all I'm doing. I'm trying to do my part in really erasing what makes New York good.
So he moves to Brooklyn.
Or I might reverse gentrify this place and really bring the scumbag element back.
Don't worry. You could on your lowest day you couldn't devalue Brooklyn the way some of your fellow new arrivals are doing. on your worst day, Fred, you couldn't do to that borough what these well-meaning people are doing. So he rolls in. Where are you now, in Bed-Stuy?
Bed-Stuy, do or die.
Yeah. Yeah, do or die or move out, which is what you're going to... Fred. Yeah, it's. I like how it's Fred-Stuy. Yeah, just wait till it's Fred. It's going to be Fred Slope soon enough. Right? Fred will be selling artisanal baby carriages.
I'm on the cresting wave of the Bronx gentrification. I'm up there.
Yeah, no, you're gonna be. Yeah.
Turning the 5 train into.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at you. You're gonna be doing some sort of selling like relish or something. Fred's relish hut. You're gonna have to set up,
man. Like Hawaiian food, poke. That's super hip. Like I can't. We're gonna fish out the ocean soon. That's it's an unquenchable thirst.
People like their what do they like?
They like their salmon.
Salmon.
I don't know what fake poke they.
So what's going on, buddy? Are you done with your up in smoke tour of the U.S.? is up in smoke spring 2017 over? Where I look at Instagram and you'd think, I don't know what I thought I was seeing there with it. Just like these things where it's Fred. He's in a museum. Everybody, I'm in this museum. I'm high. It's like, oh, okay. So what? Yeah, look at me. Yeah, take a picture. I'm going to this movie and I'm high. Okay. Good for you, Fred. Like, everything. Look out, I'm going in this pizza place and I'm high.
Tom.
Yeah, Fred. What?
Yeah. Listen, Tom, we can make it real and talk about how, as a brown man, you live in constant fear of having a joint in your pocket.
But the only thing with you is,
as a guy who got stopped at Chris 6 times in 3 months.
I'm with you on that. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's any risk. I don't think anybody's worried about you having a joint in your pocket. They wonder where it went. And then they look and your eyes are all spiraled out. It's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, don't worry about Fred. It's like, woo, like the hypno eyes. It's like, woo, woo, woo. It's like, yeah, don't worry about Fred holding that joint in his pocket. It's gone already. He looked at it and it melded with him.
Listen, I've moved on to the vape life. All right. I'm like a robot now.
Vape life. It's great. It's so great. There's nothing that I love more than when you see somebody where it looks like they have some sort of unpainted toy robot from the 50s that they seem to pressed up against their face while they're driving. What a great...
I also was, like, using a branded vape. So, like, the whole thing was like, hey, if you vape, nobody can tell if you're smoking tobacco or weed. Yeah. And then, all it takes is a simple Google search to be like, oh, no, this is not...
You also think like some cop is just like, well, it would be too hard to figure out whether that's weed in that.
Oh no, I'd be full of bullets before he got to that.
Yeah. Well, look, Fred. You know I tease you. You know why I tease you? Because you're the best. You only tease the people, the big people. Don Rickles said that.
The big people.
He only made fun of. He didn't make fun of the little guy. He only made fun of. Big people. And you, Fred, are a big person.
I am very fat, that is true.
No, not that. You're big. First of all, you're not. You're, oh, God, this guy boxes me in. I tell you, it's like your big game. You know, I know you don't do this to Chris, your overlord, right? Right?
Listen, I'm trying to get that job, all right?
Chris, it's like, how do you want that chicken cheese melt, Chris?
Right? Which artisanal soda would you like to pair your organic meal with?
Yeah, Fred's in the break room pouring mellow yellow into some bottle he found. From the 50s. He's sticking a cap on it. He's going to tell Chris Gethard it's some rare soda he got for him. He's pouring flat Dr. Pepper into a bottle. And he's, Chris, I got you one bottle of this rare soda. It's only for you. And then.
There's a misprint on the bottle, you see.
And look, I'm only saying this. I'm going to make fun of Chris Gethard. I'm making fun of you.
Of course.
Because you're. You'll
trample the weak.
No, you'll just look. I was saying the Sol Johnson movie was Any Way the Wind Blows. That should be the Fred movie, the Fred from Honolulu movie. Any Way the Wind Blows.
The path of least resistance.
Yeah, you're so. But yeah, I'm surprised you're not. What do you do? You bring in Joe Firestone's. What are you doing? You washing her sheets tonight?
Washing her sheets.
What are you doing? Right? What are you doing? You changing the side, what do you call that? The little frilly thing that hangs off the bottom of the bed?
Look, I whoever's shoes is the most expensive, I'll shine. Like, that's how it works.
This is what I want from you, Fred.
What's up, man?
First of all, 24 hours. Try to go through 24 hours straight. That's one thing I would like to see. Is it possible? At this point, if you stand still at this point, your roots pop out of you. Roots grow out of you, and you go into the soil. You're literally one-third plant at this point. You're smoking so much pot. You're literally, right? You go to a place you pour that soil on your head, right? Scots. You pour Scots on your head. So that's one thing I'd like to see, if you could physically make it 24 hours.
Not a problem.
Without zonking yourself into oblivion. Secondly, you're always doing this thing. Yeah, Chris Gethard is the greatest. Joe Firestone's my hero. Brett Davis, what can I get for you, Mr. Davis?
Okay, that's too far.
But now, when do we get Fred?
Mm-hmm.
When do we get you?
this is what you get.
No, but when do we get? Where's the Fred show? Where's your one man show?
Oh my God!
Right?
The problem is I hate.
I want nothing more than to walk into the UCB theater.
Oh no!
This is why I walk in. UCB. This is how the show goes. You walk in.
Mm-hmm.
Sound of the ocean playing in the back, like over the PA. Like the ocean waves. Then.
Vacation Jason comes out.
No. It's you.
All right.
And you're just like, oh, hello. I didn't see you there. It's me. It's me, Fred. I'm on the beaches of Hawaii, my home. And then suddenly then you hear like car sounds. It's like, whoa, New York City. Right? And now suddenly you're doing like New York City stuff. You're just like, I'm just a guy from Hawaii. Now I'm here in New York City. What's that? Three card Monty? Why, yes, I do think I'll play that. No, well, I picked the red card, sir. I didn't win. Why are you running away with the three cards in the cardboard box? Table.
These are literally places that have never existed.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to see. Your one-man show.
No, my one-man show. Go look up Garrison Keillor in Honolulu. He did a show. He did a Prairie Home Companion. Check that out. That's exactly what
Could you imagine?
Exactly what you described.
Could you imagine Garrison Keillor talking about... Was he offensive? I'm sure he was offensive. He was so
he did like this thing about dolphins and shit. Oh, sorry.
You have to realize when you go to Hawaii is made up of different islands. And the people here like to eat spam, which it's a meat that we often in Lake Wobegon, for example, don't eat a whole lot of spam there. What we do eat is a lot of peach pie. They're having a bake sale at the firehouse to raise money for Mrs. Carmichael so her son can go to art school in Minneapolis, the big city. So we're going to eat all sorts of pie there. But in Hawaii, they don't have pie in Hawaii. They have spam and poi. And now let's bring up my first guest. His name is Fred. He's a young man from Hawaii.
I'm not joking. I think he brought up Willie Nelson. Someone told me that. I'm not sure though.
He brought up Willie Nelson. What as a Hawaiian
like a
reference
or something? Yeah, like because Willie like lives in Maui or something like that. I'm not sure. This is the videos I saw did not have that.
Oh Fred. Why don't you come by some week against my?
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm going to say.
What's up
to the audience?
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I know what's best. Most of you don't. If I say I'm inviting this guy down to the studio, I know from the emails and from the message boards I see.
Yes.
I hate Fred. Fred sucks.
Perfect.
Fred's boring. Fred hates white people.
That is the only true thing you've said so far.
So... But if I invite this guy down,
mm-hmm.
for every one person who writes a thing, please, Tom, I'm begging mm-hmm. you, do not have Fred on. He's the worst guest in the history of the show.
There you go.
I have to assume there's 100 people who are like, yeah, I want Fred down. I like when Fred's on. For every one person who's just like, oh, no, not Fred again, the worst, terrible, unlistenable, I have to assume... For every one of those, there's 100 mm-hmm. people saying, oh, goody, Fred's back. Can't
you
get
have,
enough
you have to
of
assume
Fred.
That because...
All right, Fred. I like how you think it's some sort of fun character thing that you call at 11:55.
Like for... It's not, dude. I, like, call. I pound my phone until I get through, and then, like... I get on like 11:20, 11 o'clock, and then I stay on hold. That's how it is. It's okay. Fine.
All right.
That's how it works. I'm not gonna hit up the hotline.
So what are you doing this summer, Fred? What can we look forward to this summer? Is the Up and Smoke tour resuming?
Up and Smoke tour.
Right.
The part where I hid my edibles in a bag of hard candies and then had a bunch of senior citizens on the train ask me for one, so I like freaked out and left it on.
It's like a bad you. It's like you're Cheech and Chong at the same time. Somehow, it's like a one man thing. Hard candies. You're worried you're going to give the old people edibles.
It worked. It was like I was like, okay, look, it doesn't look like anything now. It doesn't have like a big marijuana leaf on this thing now. Like you know that you took the train. You're like forced to interact with these people.
Yeah,
so
or
like
not.
When you're like,
I'm not. I rode on that train. I didn't talk to two people. I rode coast to coast. I didn't talk to two people on it.
Wow.
I said, get out of my
private car? Are you that rich?
Yeah, wait. My own private car on the train?
Yeah.
Well, what
I didn't know you could do that, by the way.
Well, what did
I,
you,
like,
where did you sleep? You took Amtrak coast to coast,
yeah.
Just like I did. What
yeah.
were you in? Did you have a roomette?
A roomette?
Yeah, roommate's what I had. A roommette.
Yeah, but like your meals, you have to
The guy bring it to the room.
I didn't do that.
Yeah, you can. You tell him, yeah, I don't want to eat in the dinner carp. Can you?
I was literally the youngest guy there by 40 years.
Yeah, so like, what? So you think they're not going to feed you?
I didn't know that. Like I didn't know that. I'm not going to make a dude fetch me my meals. I'm not you,
fetch.
Dude. I'm not you.
He's going to fetch. Oh, you mean the employee of the train who is doing his job?
Not it's the other
it.
Brown guy on the train, man. You're not going to be like, it's weird. Like, it just feels weird. Like, it's just like, I don't know. I didn't know that. First of all, I didn't know that.
Next time you.
I'm
look.
Not casting judgment on you making other people run around for you, but like.
Well, weren't running. All they did was carry the food that I had paid for. With my overpriced train ticket. So I had absolutely no problem asking them to give me food while I'm on this moving tube that I have no other way of getting food on it.
You didn't enjoy the dining car experience of having to sit with someone 40 years your senior?
Oh, you mean the dining... No, you mean eating some weird coffee cake that I don't know what brand of, like, cinnamon roll that is?
You didn't have to sit with Mennonites like I did.
here comes the hate. This is what Connor O'Malley was talking about. He said, He said, watch Fred.
You know, Colorado Valley has a really deep archive of racist imagery. It's amazing.
All right,
like
Fred.
Every
this
text.
This is when I say goodbye to you. Get off my phone. Best show, final calls here. I don't want this guy to be smirching Conor O'Malley at the nationally known comedy act. Best show, hi.
Hi, Bob.
Who?
Tom.
Yes, Tom.
Hey, I'd like to talk about Bob Grant.
You want to talk about Bob Grant? What do you want to talk about?
Whenever I moved to New York, I wanted to think that he was the guy that did a show. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I have a mouthful of food.
Don't worry. Got
but,
a mouthful of food. Don't worry.
I think that he, did he have, at the end of his show, did he have a few minutes where he did a few minutes where people called in and did just like blast with him. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Don't worry. Don't worry. We'll try again another time. The show's over anyway. I got to move on. I appreciate the call, though. You have a great night.
You too.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, cool.
Okay, take care. Yeah. I think what he meant was that Bob Grant had a thing where he would, the gag hour was like, get at Grant, and he would let people call up and insult him. And yes, he did do that. And that's what we based the thing where I can't complain on that to some degree. It's based on that. And, yeah, you know, he did his thing back then. He's gone now, though, Bob Grant. And am I crying for him? No, he's a sick hate monger. He's a sick, sick man. But he's not a sick man because he wore a toupee, Mike. Now I gotta start over. Mike just blew the whole rhythm of the thing. He's doing his own show out there. You should hear it some week. So, where was I? Yeah, Bob Grant. When I was a young boy, I liked listening to his show. Why? Because he was an engaging broadcaster. Did I agree with what he said? Absolutely not. He was a sick hate monger. Horrible, horrible man. Hopefully, wherever he is now, he realizes that he promoted hate and not love. Hopefully, he has found grace and wisdom wherever he finds himself, wherever his soul is. I hope he has found some peace and understanding and compassion for those with which he was sharing the planet. But enough of him. I'm here to talk about me. Wait, what happened to the music? Oh, there it is. Yes. I'm here to talk about the best show. And we're having fun every week. And it's a fun show we do here, right? Yeah, it's fun. But you know what? It's fun. I don't have it in me to do this week. I don't have a point of view. I don't have it in me. I don't know what to say. We're going to yell about how the show's great. I'm trying to make the show great. Do it every week with this thing. I'm ending this segment. What do you think about that, Mike? You're disappointed. Well, Mike, life is hard. Sometimes you get disappointed in life. Sometimes things you like end before you want them to end. But you know what, Mike? Sometimes the things you love come back. And you know what? I don't feel like doing this. I really don't. All kidding aside, I think I'm done with it. I don't know what to do with it anymore. I'm just yelling and blathering on about trying
and pushing myself and trying to make the thing go to different places. And you know what? Enough is enough. But this show, it is a gift. I don't know. I'm not feeling it. Really. It's not working. It's not working tonight. I'm not going to force it. Not going to force it. But you know what I am going to force? Yeah, that's not the right one. Why did it go up like that? Oh, wait. Hey, what's this? Boom, 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 boom. Is this one that goes boom, 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 boom? Is it? It's the only classical music I know. There it is. Yes. You listen to me, and you listen good. I don't know. What do you think, Mike? Nah, that sucks. That song's called Butkus. It was named after his dog.
Hey, yo, Butkus.
I don't know what to do. You know, these Rocky themes, they're just not working anymore. You try one and it doesn't fit. You try another one and it doesn't fit. And you try another one and it doesn't fit. Then all of a sudden, you know what? Maybe it turns out the first one fit the whole time. And you know what? Maybe that's a larger example of what we're doing here on the show. Maybe what I've been doing this whole time is the... No. I think there's only one way to do it. Look, my friends. It's been a weird year. And maybe these show enders are little diary entries, if I think about them that way. I can chart the year from these things where I was sad. And I was down, and I started climbing my way back out of the hole to where I stand now, feeling all right about myself, feeling positive about the future, feeling ready for the next challenge. I think I'm getting ready for the next challenge. I wrote one thing that I feel good about. Felt like I kind of lifted myself out of the fog. Now, will anyone care? I don't know. There's nothing I can do about that. And maybe no one cares, and maybe I wrote it, and so it goes, and it fades into nothingness. Maybe that's all that was for that. But you know what? I'm going to start writing the next thing. You know why? Because I got more to do. And like I said earlier, you do these things for yourself. You don't do them for everybody else. Me trying to please someone I barely know. No! Like I said, six people, man. I got six people in my life that I know I can trust, and they have my back, and I want to make them laugh. And when they laugh, I feel good about it. Everybody else, I trust number one, numero uno, baby. The kid in the captain's chair. That's who I trust. Because I didn't get it. I didn't win no contest. This isn't the movie Eddie where I hit a half-court shot and they gave me this show. Nah, this is scraping and scrapping and fighting and putting my own money on the line and my own time on the line and getting other people to do it. Like Dudio and Mike and Pat and Marcia and Amy and Terry T and all the people that work on this thing. You think it's easy to do this every week, but you know what? That when I go forward, I know I go forward doing it for them and with them having my back. And that's why I go forward, and that's why I'm about to begin the next thing. I'm drawing a line on myself right now. You listen to me. What's the one thing I've wanted to do for years, Mike? What's the one thing? That's right. Thank you, Mike. Write a book. I want to write a book. I keep dancing around and hemming and hawing because you know what? I know. When I start to write this thing, it's going to be funny, And then it's going to be so sad you cry until your eyeballs fall out. And then you're going to laugh again tomorrow. Yours truly, the captain, Mr. Amazing, the king of New Jersey, myself, I will begin my book! Best show, we'll be back. I don't know about next week. Next week's 4th of July. Do we come back? I don't know. Well, maybe we'll pre-tape a show. I'll figure it out. You will have something to listen to next week. I promise you that. Thanks for listening to The Best Show. We'll be back in some form next week. Good night!